everybody. We should probably start talking. Do we have a... Let's see what buttons I need to push here. I was trying to move stuff around, and I think I broke the radio station. I'm not going to lie to you.
Wait, let me do this.
Yeah.
I'm Andrea Darlis on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That was Andrea Darlis with the news. Thank you for the news, traffic, weather, and sports. That's so much to do. You right. Do it so quickly, too. It's really crazy on the roads. Did we miss anything? I cut you off.
No, it absolutely is crazy out there today.
Yeah, I was
trapped. You were caught in it.
Yeah, I was trapped on lower. You do not want to be trapped on any of our lower streets like Wacker, Columbus, Lower Michigan, and I was trapped behind many buses and trolley. There was a trolley trying to make a left turn, and then he needed to back up because he couldn't make the turn.
Right.
And there were cars behind him, so we were there. I was in the same spot for 15 minutes.
You were, because you were texting, and yep. I was like looking down the window saying, yeah, you're in gridlock. I'm still here. I haven't moved. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm still not used to the daylight hours. It burns me.
I know. And can I just say one thing for all those drivers out there? I mean, everybody's in traffic. We're all trying to get to somewhere or go home or wherever. It's crazy out in the rush hour. You're going to be waiting for a long time. Please don't block an intersection. I mean, even if you think, hey, I can make that yellow light.
Nope.
When you or that one car, this happened to me twice today.
Today?
When you're that one car and you're right in the middle, you mess it up for everybody.
Oh, for blocks and for a long period of time, yeah.
And, yeah, and you know what? You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So please don't.
Well, what that means is if you can see that you're not going to clear the intersection, if the cars already go clearing the intersection, if they haven't cleared the pedestrian walkway on the other side of the street, you got to wait.
Absolutely.
It sucks.
No
one likes to wait. But you otherwise, then the cars behind you now can't go anywhere. The cars crossing the intersection in the opposite way can't go anywhere.
Right.
So a lot of that happening today. Now I know why people always complain about traffic, but I used to not be down here at this time.
Me too. I would do the reverse commute. Yep. You know, I would make it here in, 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, and going home it would take about 30 or 40. Now it's always at least an hour in.
Oh,
just because
God.
It's this time of day.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Do you look for side routes? Are you trying to find like your shortcuts yet?
You have to tell me a couple of side routes.
I can't share them on the air.
I know. You'll have to tell me secretly. I used to, but then I found that it takes me more time to get to the side routes than it does if I just got on the Kennedy or
it
the
could.
Edens.
Well, for me, it's also psychological because I'm still moving.
Oh, right.
You
so
know?
Just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Just
so
keep
from
moving. Just keep moving.
I don't lose my will to live. Because sitting on the Kennedy, you're like, I'm never going to get there.
I know. I've had to really calm myself.
Yes.
You know, when I first started doing this, I would get frustrated. Now I just think, okay, if it's less than an hour, I'm happy. Make your phone calls. Do what you need to do.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I almost gave up hope when I was in Lower Wacker. I'm not kidding. I was trying to figure out if I could get out of my car and just ask the few cars, just to pull up 6 inches.
Right.
Because there was enough room for me to park, right at the corner of Stetson and Lower Wacker or whatever it was. And but just as I was about to do that, it opened up and I was able to get through the intersect. But I really, you have this moment where you're like, can I just get out and abandon my car here?
I know. Don't you? I've broken up with Waze so many times, mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, it takes me twice as long. But then I'll go back and Waze will find me a nice little shortcut and then we'll get back together. So I have this love-hate relationship with Waze, but it always frustrates me when it says, your destination is 3 miles away. Time it'll take you to get there, 45 minutes.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, that's the worst.
Well, I like Waze because it does have all the, stalled car on the side.
Right.
Cop car ahead.
Police activity.
Yes, police activity.
Right.
It is weird, though. There are times when I've been directed to go down an alley. And that's confusing.
Yes, me too.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you sure? Well, and that's our problem, isn't it? Is that we blindly trust our GPS.
I know.
Do you remember there was a couple that actually it ended tragically for this couple. They followed the GPS, but the information had not been updated, and they drove off of a ramp that had not been finished with construction.
And I think there was another story, too, where someone drove into a pond, or it was dark, and they just drove into water. Couldn't see it.
You've got to, at some point, you also have to take a little bit of control. I remember when I used to go on the road all the time doing comedy, I was in rural Iowa and I was using my GPS and I'm like, this doesn't seem like the way to the airport, but all right. And I'm following GPS and I'm not exaggerating. I pulled into someone's driveway and I'm like, yeah, I don't think this is right. I don't think Bob's got an airport in his backyard.
Exactly.
Something horrible has gone wrong with my GPS. But I agree. The Waze, I think, can be hit or miss. Don't you ever try to see if you can beat the time, though?
It'll say 48 minutes. I'm like, oh, I can do it in 40.
Yeah. Exactly. I got this.
Was that game show? I could name that price and what was it? Price is Right?
You can also do Name That Tune, but Name That Price. Yeah, over
without
or under.
Over.
Right? Yeah,
I can make it in 40 minutes.
I
I never do.
I always feel victorious when I've chipped off time the estimated travel time. I think you're wrong.
I know a better way, and then it pops up 3 minutes. It's like, oh, damn.
I do want to assure people that we are not going to beat a dead horse. We're not going to go over the walk back that the president, it's been talked to death, and people have gone over it. Some people I know were texting John Williams, are you going to go over every single word he said? But my concern, the thing that caught my attention was that the president said that, you know, it's sort of a double negative was what he said, which was the, I don't know why they would have meddled with the elections, basically, right? And he said it should have been, I don't know why they wouldn't have, which really isn't a double negative. If he had said, I don't not know if they wouldn't not have, would be actually technically a quadruple negative.
So that would cancel it all out.
All of it. Yeah, it would be like, why did you use that sentence at all? Those words are all now meaningless.
You're exactly right, because it's like when you say, well, I could care less. It's really, I couldn't care less, which is, I could not care less.
Right. Is that right? Now I don't know.
But yeah, so
that's what I want to talk about.
Matter.
They do matter, but some people don't think that they do. Whether it's, you know, whether or not they just sort of write off, well, the president misspoke. But also, like on social media, a lot of people dismiss their.
I know.
And I, you know, well, come on, it's just you know, we're having a conversation. I shouldn't have to worry about, you know, the grammar police,
right?
But
that drives me nuts as an English minor.
Yes.
Doesn't it? I mean, I look at it and I'll, you know, I'll say like, oh, they're coming over, T-H-E-A-R. And I'm going, right. I want to say, oh my God, it's they are, you know.
And I know
same
if you're in a, yes. And I know if you're in a heated conversation with somebody, you want to get it out there as fast as possible before they respond. But, you know, try to do a cursory look at it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you can go back and edit. You know, no one's going to begrudge you for having fixed your.
Right. Or you are.
You're not going to not. So I want to talk about grammatical errors that make you absolutely bonkers. And of course, your is number one on this list. Your belongs to you. You are. There you go.
There you are. So if I say you're the best, you are.
Yeah.
You're the best.
You're. But I'm not your best. More to this on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN.
Hey, look. No. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mateer and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9. It's a great bump, though. Get it?
It's a good bump.
I could turn back time.
If I only could. The president of the United States has said that his statements yesterday while meeting during the press conference, while he was standing next to Putin, when he was asked about whether or not he believed the Russians had meddled with the elections or, you know, did he... the walk back today was interesting for me as somebody who is, I'm going to be honest, I am picky. I am not perfect.
Too.
I'm not perfect about my grammar. I get it. I say like and too much, or sometimes I split my modifiers. I'm not sure what that means sometimes, but I do it anyway.
I throw in I say, you know. I mean, I do that.
Right?
It's just, I say yeah so, instead of yes. So we're not perfect.
No.
I get that. But
I'm
picky like you with you're the best.
Especially writing it.
And when you see it on Facebook, I just want to say, oh, please, just please spell right.
Just spell right. And there are people that just write it off. It doesn't matter. But I think it does reflect. If you want to communicate with somebody, that's pretty much when you want to be able to use the right grammar.
Yeah. And if you want to comment on Facebook and social media, nothing just frustrates me more than a grammatically incorrect tirade. You know, if someone just starts ripping you or ripping your thoughts or anything, and every word is misspelled. It's
I know.
I can't understand you.
Or how about when the caps are all locked? I'm like, is your button locked on your keyboard? Do you need some help with that? Because we can send some folks over and show you where that button is.
To
reset that. I remember I saw one that says that liberals were too stupid, and that but two was spelled with a T-O. And I was like, aw.
T-W-O.
Oh, boy.
Too stupid.
Again, it's, you know, maybe just check, and even after you hit send, maybe you want to go ahead and proofread that. 312-981-7200 if you have any grammar quirks that just drive you crazy that people you know, and you mentioned one, which was I could care less. I could not care less. Or how about irregardless? Or regardless.
Exactly.
That's one of those.
That's another one.
Makes some people crazy. When you're writing something, that's when, like, I'm very picky about making sure all of the punctuation, if I'm doing a quotation, I make sure that the punctuation is inside the quotation marks.
Me too.
The period, the question mark, if there's a comma, if you're continuing the thought.
Right. That's where it should be.
Yes. Now, as an English major, as an English minor, do you miss that kids, do you think that kids should still be taught how to diagram a sentence?
I do.
I do too.
I absolutely
They
do.
Got rid of that. I don't know
Did
why.
Did they really?
Yeah. Kids don't learn how to diagram sentences anymore. That was like my favorite. That was my favorite thing was to go to the board and, you know, with my gerund with the curvy line.
Sure.
And here's my subject. Here's my,
Noun, your verb.
Exactly.
It's
my modifier.
You like that word.
I'll modify
but
this.
It is. It's almost a lost art. Speaking properly.
Speaking properly, writing properly is, I would think, even more important because it's forever. If you send an email to somebody, they've got that in front of them. If you're applying for a job like tonight, I reached out to one of the journalists from Block Club Chicago, and I got nervous because here I'm writing to a journalist, and I thought, I hope I get this right.
I know.
I was going back and recheck. I'm like, you know what? At this point, I'm in a hurry.
Right.
And so, exactly, right? Sometimes we just have, we want to use shorthand.
Sure.
And we get it out of the way. But the when the subjects and the verbs don't agree, like there are towels in the closet, towels are plural objects. So are is the appropriate form of the verb. So when when you have the towels is, when people say things like that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be picky. I'm being a little too anal about
it. No, you're not. Because I used to read the People magazine all the time. And their writers constantly did this. And it drove me nuts. They would say the royal couple.
Mm-hmm.
Are going out.
Oh, so the couple is a single.
Singular. Is a singular, exactly. So it should be the royal couple is stepping out. And they would consistently do this. Well, the couple, and that just drove me crazy. And
right, because they figure it's two people, it must be the plural.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. So that'll make you crazy. Yeah. I know we've got some folks that are trying to call in, and let me see if we have any. We have the text line open at 312-981-7200. Again, I'm not going to belabor what the reason was behind the president sort of wanting to restate his thoughts, mostly that he used the excuse that it's kind of a double negative. Basically, in a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia, sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that plot probably clarifies it. But that's not a double negative. It's actually either way is, a proper sentence, isn't
right.
it?
Everything you're saying is true. He said at the press conference, he said, I don't see any reason why it would be Russia.
Right.
But he said today he meant to say, he meant to say wouldn't.
Right.
So he went, he said, I used the word would instead of wouldn't. I think that probably clarifies things pretty much by itself.
I guess.
That's a grammatically incorrect statement, too. But
if he's going to go back and correct one, I guess this is the one to correct.
Exactly.
It seemed like he said a lot of other stuff, but I just thought it was interesting that he chose an English rule of double negative as the reason why it was a problem or
right.
it was the excuse for having done that.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, if he had said, I don't not see or I wouldn't not know.
Correct. Everything you're saying is correct. I know it sounds silly.
But that would be a double. Those are double negatives.
Those are double negatives.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so it's a very strange thing. What are the other? Try to connect two sentences with a comma. I do question my usage of commas because I think the comma before the and when you're listing things, there's some great memes out there about how to use comma. And then the Oxford comma. I'm not entirely sure if I'm using that correctly. Do you know what the Oxford comma is?
What's the Oxford comma?
See, I don't know. I have a friend who gets very picky about grammar on social media.
Okay.
So more than me.
So if I'm saying, okay, we're going to go out and I'm going to bring food and food, drinks, and music.
Right.
So I would say food, comma, drinks, comma, mm-hmm. and music. Or do I not need the comma because the and is there?
I think you need the comma before the and.
Food, drinks, comma, and music. Yeah, I don't see a problem putting a comma there.
How about how many spaces after a period? A lot of people.
I do too
as well. And then they're saying that people can tell how old you are by how many spaces you use after a period. But I don't think that makes any sense.
No, I
think they've gone back on that one and decided it doesn't matter. But I remember going through a document a few years ago and just getting rid of all the double spaces because I was taught to double space after a period. Single space after a comma makes complete sense in my world.
Me too. That's exactly how I was taught as well.
Yeah, that's how I was taught. What other kind of grammatical stuff drives you crazy?
I don't like who's and who's.
Right.
You know, whose line is it anyway?
Right.
As opposed to who's going out.
Apostrophe.
Exactly.
Right?
Like W-H-O apostrophe S and W-H-O-S-E. who's and whose.
Who's and whose.
People miss, don't you think they interchange those
so
a lot too?
So whose is this, right? And then who is whose, right?
Right. The apostrophe signifies ownership.
See, now I'm driving myself crazy. See? The president's legit and is a
I know.
Confusion.
It's confusion. Yeah,
I get it. I get that we don't always. Let's see what John from Lake Geneva says. Hey, John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Not good, very well. I'm kind of a language snob myself, and what drives me the most nuts is, and I hear this on WGN all the time, but also on National Public Radio, not so much the national broadcast, but, you know, like the local broadcast. Nobody knows the difference between I and me and when to use I and when to use me. I've heard John Williams, Dylan Windy.
In what sense? What's an example of that? I'd?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
She's coming over to visit with my wife and I.
Ah, yes. And I catch myself doing that incorrectly
and
as well. And I'll fix it.
And she's coming over to visit my wife and me.
Right.
That's the correct way to say it.
Right, and a basic rule of thumb is if someone could just slow down and think about it, take away my wife and just include me.
Exactly.
And you'll have it right.
There it is.
There you go. I have to agree with you.
I hear it. This is the one thing that just, it's like nails on a chalkboard when I hear it, especially when I hear from people
who talk for a living.
Who are on, you know, right. Like WGN or
sure.
NPR or whatever. It drives me nuts.
Oh, look, for there you go. And here's a listener that goes crazy about how we say W. WGN.
Yes.
Not WGN.
W.
That's so correct.
Well, I lived in the South for a while, so.
My college radio station mm-hmm. was my first job at U of I. It was WPGU. And there were signs everywhere, and it would say, double your W's.
Double your W's?
Double your W's. So it's WGN, not WGN.
WGN.
Yeah.
All right. I will pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, John. You and I had an excellent conversation.
Yeah. So, and I as well.
Okay. Thank you. Was it supposed to be me too?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. I would suggest caller is so correct. Really, nobody knows when to use me or I, and it drives me nuts too. I feel his pain. It makes me nuts when someone uses fewer and less incorrectly. Oh, and how about like nearer or further and farther and all those?
That's a good that
See?
One. That confuses me sometimes too. Farther is distance wise, like
right.
You're farther from me than I am from you. So that's FAR, correct?
Right. But what about further? Is it
I'm not going to talk to you any further. I'm not going to talk about it any
that
further.
That makes sense. Wait a minute. I got it. We've cracked that code. Let's take a break here and fix all of our grammar while we're in the break. More on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. Show with Andrea Darlis, and I wanted to introduce you guys to I'm hoping a new friend of the show if Kelly Bauer will join us semi-regularly to talk about the work she does and writes for the Block Club Chicago publication. Hey Kelly, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I know that you I contacted you at the last minute. I reached out to Block Club Chicago last week, and I said, you know, hey, how do I talk to some of your journalists? I'd love to talk to them about the work that you're doing. Kelly, tell us a little bit about Block Club Chicago.
Yeah, so Block Club is run by the same people who worked at DNA Info, the same editors and reporters, and it has a very similar mission. We want to bring that hyper-local news to Chicago's neighborhoods, that it's stuff that they can't get anywhere else. And there's, you know, reporters in a bunch of the neighborhoods to make sure that every area gets that good local coverage.
And that's why I loved DNA Info. And I'm curious, how did it come to be that you guys were able to sort of bring everybody back together and get this kicked off?
Yeah, so three of the editors who had worked at DNA Info, Seamus Toomey, Jen Sabella, and Stephanie Lule, instantly, as soon as DNA Info shut down, started talking about, like, okay, how do we get this back up? How do we get this back running? So they worked with a company called Civil that's providing us with some help to start everything up. And then we launched a Kickstarter where we were able to fundraise more than $180,000, if I'm remembering right,
wow.
From supporters. and able to help fund this and get it going.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Kelly, that's awesome. Yeah, say hi to Seamus and everybody. We're so glad you guys are back, and the site is fantastic. How do you get the ideas? You know, in fact, I you guys turned me on to this tiny little shoe store in Pilsen, and it's been family-owned forever. And I read about it, I think, initially on DNA, and I thought, I'm going to go in and try it. I just want to know where you get these the ideas, because so many of these are mom-and-pop, either businesses or restaurants or, you know, family-owned for generations, and you wouldn't otherwise hear about them unless you read about them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that we're really lucky to be able to have reporters who work and oftentimes live directly in these neighborhoods. So Mauricio Pena covers the Little Village area, Pilsen and all that. So he's there almost every single day, just walking around, looking for stories and talking to locals. Same with people like Mina Bloom in Logan Square in Humboldt Park. She lives there and she's constantly looking for stories that she knows the community will care about. So I think being connected like that plays a really big role in it.
And where did you grow up, Kelly? Are you from Chicago originally?
I grew up in the northwest suburbs, so I'm from Long Grove, but I live on the north side now.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Andrea saw my head just pop up.
Yeah.
I love Long Grove. That was a big family. Like, to me, that was a getaway when I was a kid.
The Chocolate Fest, remember?
Yes!
And the apple donuts?
That place where they have, do they still have that, the apple place where you can see all the apples, like, down in that, like, mosh pit where they're all being tumbled to make the cider?
I'm not sure if they still do. The last time I visited, they did. But yeah, that was pretty much right in my front yard, all those festivals. It was really cool.
It was cool. You could get apple juice in an apple.
Yes.
Which was so awesome.
I forgot about that. I've got to take I've never taken my kids to Long Grove.
Your boys would love Long Grove.
I'm sorry, Kelly. We're going off on a tangent while we're trying to talk to you about the work that you do with Block Club Chicago. It's going down memory lane. What got you involved in journalism? What drew you to this career?
When I was in high school, I went to Stevenson High School in Lincolnshire, and I took journalism classes there and just kind of fell in love with it. And then all throughout high school and college, I studied journalism and was on the papers. And when I was in college, I actually interned for DNA Info, and that's what led to me working there after I was done with college.
That worked out really well.
You wrote an article, and I think of you all the time now about the honking in when you should and shouldn't honk
that
in the alleys.
That was your piece?
Kelly, that was your piece, right?
Which story was it?
The honking? I know it was on your side. I thought it was your piece, the when you're supposed to honk. I always thought, because I...
Oh, yes, yeah, that was me. That started as like a debate in the Black Club newsroom. Are you supposed to or aren't you?
I still honk to this day. Yes. I live in the north side. I was in the south side for many years. I always honk.
Well, explain to folks, Kelly, what the idea behind that was, when you should and shouldn't honk. I think it was the alley one that people were talking about,
in the alleys.
Yes.
Yeah, so it started as just kind of like a friendly debate in the Black Club newsroom about, like, should you honk or shouldn't you? And at the time, I was very pro-honking because my dad, who grew up in the city, had always told me only people from the suburbs don't honk. But as it turns out, you're not supposed to honk. I talked to police who said, actually, you can get a fine for it because it breaks like a noise ordinance. But there's still a lot of debate over it. We did a very unofficial Twitter poll where people were very divided, although the majority do say they think you should honk.
I think so.
I do too, because if you're coming around blindly.
Yes.
You don't want to, you know, what if someone walks out with a baby carriage or a jogger?
Well, what about those alleys that are like T-shaped, where you're going down one alley and another alley intersects it, and you have those blind corners, like you said.
Right.
Do you honk, Kelly?
I don't have a car in the city, but I would, because that's what I was taught. And I don't know, I think just the more aware you can make people, the better, especially if it is those kind of blind alleys. But the cops said the best thing to do is to just make sure that you go slow and that you stop before exiting an alley and then stop again before going into the street.
See, that's all right. I guess if you slow down, you obviously reduce the risk of harming anybody with your vehicle.
It was such a great story. It was the age-old debate.
See, this was very serendipitous. I didn't even realize that was your piece when I started looking through the Block Club Chicago website. I noticed that you are the crime reporter for many of the neighborhoods. Is that something you were drawn to, or were you assigned to some of the crime stories?
Well, when I was at DNA Info, when I started, I covered all of the crimes and kept track of shootings and homicides and things like that. And that was just extremely interesting for me. And it was a really good job to challenge me as a journalist right out of college. So now at Black Club, I am covering the downtown area, although I write a bit all over. So usually if there's a crime thing, just because I'm comfortable with having worked that in the past, then I'll kind of help get it started.
And with the shooting over the weekend, you've written a piece about a couple pieces about Harith Augustus and the video being captured on the body cam. Did you report on that the day it happened on Saturday?
Actually, it was Lee Edwards, our Sasha reporter, who has really been all over that. He's covered the protests. When the body cam footage was released, he's been covering that. And then yesterday, Lee and I both spoke to people who knew Harith Augustus.
And what have you been learning about when you were talking to people who knew him, friends and family? What was your sense in the aftermath of both, you know, this guy who was approached by police? They noticed that he had a bulge and that he was carrying a weapon. And we can see the video. That's not neither here nor there right now. It's not the conversation.
Right.
What kind of reactions are you getting from the people in his community?
Yeah, I think that people have been extremely shocked. Everyone who Lee and I have spoken with has described him as someone who was very quiet, soft-spoken. I spoke to a childhood friend of Harith's, and he said that he was just loved to play sports, and he was very beloved as a barber, even though he didn't have that typical, like, boisterous barber personality. And so I think that a lot of people are just feeling very confused and hurt over how this happened, and especially with him, because every person has just described him as someone who's very quiet but friendly.
I know you're not supposed to read the comments on certain things, but all of the stories with this, I have found, have been pretty split. You know, I'm seeing women see both sides, men, and what's very interesting to me is I've seen a lot of African men commenting, at least just on the initial Facebook post, in saying, don't run, you know, you should never have run. Just comply, first thing you should say is, you know, so it's just interesting, the dynamic and kind of the, you know, it's just so split right now for both sides of this.
Is that your sense of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There has been a lot of debate in our own comments as well, and a lot of discussion that I've seen all over, just with kind of the same thing as just people debating, like, should you run? Do you stay? How do you communicate that you have a gun safely? Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack with this that I think people will continue to discuss in the months to come.
And, of course, there was protesting right afterwards because information was being filtered through different, you know, sources.
Right.
Misinformation, some of it, you know, really setting off a dangerous, I thought, sort of scenario.
Right. You know, Eric.
And cops were hurt.
That's what's just so maddening and upsetting about it is that Eric Rung had reported one of the first witnesses came out and said, oh, he had a concealed carry permit. So that went viral.
Right, right.
And then I really commend Eddie Johnson and the police department for saying, you know what, we are going to release this body camera footage now. You know, we're not going to let this linger and let this wait. And also, too, he said, we met with the family first. And they said, yes, please release this. You know, because, yeah, which I found interesting as well. So I think they were on top of it. And you know, any protest that you see downtown, even the one on the Ryan, you know, when it's done in a peaceful way, you know, when you get the permit and then the police line the sides of the street so you can take over the street, that's fine and whatnot. But when you start throwing urine and bottles, and that's when it just gets completely unruly.
And they were still, weren't they still, Kelly, at the time trying to investigate the crime scene? Because it takes hours to collect the evidence, doesn't it?
It can take hours to collect evidence in those kinds of situations, but I wasn't there on that day, so I wouldn't want to say with certainty.
Now, the story that you wrote, I decided to give you a call and reach out to you is because I was going through my Facebook feed and John Cass from the Chicago Tribune had posted something about how no one was protesting a woman who was shot by a carjacker.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the stories that you wrote about. Tell us a little bit about, because I don't think many people do know that a woman was shot and killed in West Humboldt Park during a carjacking, do they?
Yeah, I think that this one was one of those shocking things, but there was just so much that happened this weekend that people weren't as aware of it. So on Sunday night, this woman was a passenger in a car in West Humboldt Park Sunday morning, and a man walked up to the driver while the car was stopped, took out a gun, and tried to hijack the car. The driver drove off, but the gunman fired shots at the back of the car, and unfortunately, he hit this woman, and she passed away later that night.
That's awful.
And it must be so hard to cover a lot of these stories and talk to family members and find out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of the reasons I want to talk to you, because I'm guessing over the time that you have been a crime reporter, as you mentioned, it was something that was interesting to you. What has been your sense as to how things have either changed or stay the same since you started reporting on these stories?
I think that the way that we report on these stories is changing, is that at first it was people just writing up every shooting or homicide that occurred. But more and more we've been hearing from the community that they want more context about shootings, more information about victims. And even more than that, they don't just necessarily want a short little story about the shooting took place. They want more stories about, like, why are there shootings in Chicago? Why is there violence? So I think people have just been kind of so shocked by the violence in the city that now they're looking for more answers and trying to figure out what we do to stop this and just provide more information about shootings so that way people understand it as fully as possible.
Well, I want to thank you for being one of the journalists that is doing this. And, of course, being, you know, block by block, Block mm-hmm. Club Chicago, you are responsive to what the community wants. And that's one of the things I find fascinating. Kelly, I know you've got plans tonight. I thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to having you hopefully someday in studio. But we'd love to check in with you about some of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And how can people find your Twitter account so they can get links to the work that you're writing for Block Chicago?
Yeah, it's Bauer Journalism. That's B like boy, A-U-E-R, journalism.
Excellent. Thank you so much,
Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN. Okay. Ashley's gotten the 80s tunes.
Oh.
You weren't even born when this music was popular, Ashley. But we're digging it. How you doing, Ashley? How do I turn
we love you, Ashley.
Do you even talk to your microphone? Did I turn you off completely?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very well. Michael is off tonight. Ashley is filling in. You just graduated from college, yes?
No, I'm still in college.
Where are you going to school?
I'm over at Lewis University.
Excellent. How are you liking it?
I love it. It's awesome.
Are you studying education or?
I'm doing broadcast communications and marketing. Double wham.
There you go.
Double major.
Well, thank you for joining the show. Now, do you have any grammatical quirks that you can't stand when someone says something incorrectly?
One of my friends, and I call her out in all the time, she will say, like, she'll be like, oh, you know, she's talking about a hotel or something and where they stayed, but she will say, we stood here, meaning we stayed at that hotel. And I'm like, girl,
close-ish. Well, that's the thing is that people do get, I mean, I know that people are reacting to this. The president, if you have not yet heard, tried walking back his statements at the press conference, the ones he made yesterday next to President Vladimir Putin. And he said he had said, what was the exact?
I have it. Yeah, he said, originally he said, I don't see any reason why it would be Russia.
Meddling in our elections.
He said the sentence should have been, I don't see any reason it wouldn't be Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And he called the sentence he meant to say a bit of a double negative.
Which it's not.
Correct.
Because it would have had to be, it would have had to have been, don't not see why it wouldn't not have been.
Exactly. Russia. I know.
Make everybody crazy.
What you're saying is correct.
Yes, that would be a double negative.
Yes.
The other thing, it just occurred to me, is that if he said he doesn't know why it wouldn't have been Russia meddling in our election, then he is acknowledging that Russia meddled in our election, so the investigation, therefore, is warranted.
Exactly.
Woo!
Wait
a second. The sentence has been cracked. Okay,
right.
So
when he said today, what I meant to say, I don't see any reason it wouldn't be Russia. So if this is what he truly believes,
right.
Then he was saying this at the press conference, I don't see any reason it wouldn't be Russia.
Right.
Which is kind of a jab to Putin, who he's standing right next to. So that changes the entire scenario then.
It would, if that would have been what he actually did.
Correct.
But he didn't. So aside from what happened in actual time yesterday, what happened today, though, as I said, he is validating the fact that the investigation is legit, because why wouldn't Russia have meddled in our elections? See how this is.
So everything you're saying, I want to say right. Everything yes. you're saying is correct. So it validates it then.
Yes. So then the
investigation should continue.
Exactly. So he has said it, and he's on the record now.
Now he's on the record.
He believes the intelligence agency, and why wouldn't Russia have meddled in our election? But it did get me off on a tangent about grammar and the things that drive you crazy, and there were so many texts that came in. I wanted to make sure I try to get to at least a few more of them. If I don't get to yours, I will try to get to them before the end of the show. I am being very careful.
You are.
There it is. I can't. You know what? I still can't get to the text. It makes me crazy when someone uses the pronoun they when referring to an individual. Oh, that's interesting, because I think now you can say they if you don't know whether they're a man or woman.
Correct.
You say they.
Or if they're transitioning. We went through this. We had a kid of the week on the Cochrane show who was transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to misspeak. It was a boy who was transitioning to a woman, mm-hmm. but identified as a woman. So we had to be very careful. And she said she only wanted to be referred to as she. Or they.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
And it was explained to me in the sense that, like, let's say you don't know who your postal delivery person is, right? A postman, I guess.
Yeah.
You could say they, because you don't know if it's a man or a woman.
Correct.
They left the package.
They left
meaning
the package.
Your postal delivery person.
Yes. And that's okay.
We will revisit this before the end of the show.
Yeah, we
I'm
will.
Sure that John Tatey has some thoughts on this as well. He's a writer. So we will. There are so many texts that came in, and feel free to continue to send those 312-981-7200, and I'll try to get more of them. Like my favorite from the 870 is the dangling participle, and yeah, and some people are missing Kathy and Judy because they used to have these conversations as well.
Oh, so, see, we love Kathy and Judy.
I love Kathy and Judy. Let's run to the. We have to run because you're standing right here. But the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. By the way, you and I were looking at that spread that Belinda Chang has brought in. It looks good.
There's Greek caviar.
So it's National Caviar Day. You'll all have to walk me through what good caviar is.
Okay.
I'm like, it just... You know.
It tastes good.
Okay. Your news is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Here is Andre Darlis. Andrea.
Wham.
Something magical has happened. Yes, wham. Something magical has happened in our studio in addition to... having some great food presented on trays. The wonderful Belinda Chang joined us in studio. She's a 3-time James Beard Award nominated and now 2-time winner, Belinda Chang. Ooh. Let me find your microphone. I think you are this one. Hello.
And how are you doing? Too.
Are they plugged in? Can you hear the... We'll figure it out in a second.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
This so
all works out so well. I can't hear you over my hunger for the food you have brought in.
I brought you a Czar and Czarina's feast. I mean, whoa. I imagine this is how they ate every day. But apparently, this is also how Americans ate in the 1800s.
Caviar?
When caviar was widely available. I think it was like oysters, where it was every sort of man, woman, and child's right to eat plates and plates of oysters for
really?
A dollar. Yeah, this is way back in the day.
When do we think caviar became sort of...
It became
like
overfished. Rich. It became super popular and super expensive. And some of the greatest caviars that were known to man, things like caviar from Beluga or Double O Beluga is the one that, you know, makes people's heart pitter-patter. It's not even available anymore, and it's furthermore illegal. So nowadays we're eating amazing caviars from places other than Iran and Russia. Now we have beautiful caviars from California. I brought one. We have caviars from, you know, the Nordic Arctic, Washington State, Alaska. Hmm. So we have all kinds of neat stuff. So I bought 9 different versions of delicious fish eggs.
Very colorful tray that you've set out, too.
Yeah.
And well, first, before we try some of these things, because you brought some accompaniments with them, like mm-hmm. different
yep.
types of chips and breads and really look like very tasty choices. But how do they farm for caviar eggs?
So they farm raise the fish. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing proper caviar, if you see a jar or a glass little tin, you'll see the word caviar. And if there's no type of fish in front of the word caviar, that means that the caviar came from a type of fish called sturgeon. Mm-hmm. And they're all different types of sturgeon, beluga sturgeon, Ocetra sturgeon, Sevruga sturgeon. See, this is some geeky stuff. This is why I love it. Because I'm a big wine geek and I like anything that has lots of fun accessories.
Right.
And requires a lot of reading. So all these different types of sturgeon. You'll also find caviar from different types of fish, right? All fish have eggs. So we have what you see in the sushi bar all the time, that those flying fish eggs, that bright green tobiko, which is actually flavored with wasabi. So I brought a little bit of that for us to taste today.
Oh, they're so bright and green.
Isn't that pretty? And then we also have an orange tobiko, which is its natural color. So again, flying fish eggs.
And you're going to have to teach us how to place it on the cracker, because obviously it's not like dip where you're just going to take it and just like scoop it up.
Well, so that's sort of the other thing that's neat about caviar is you have special utensils, right? So I brought you a little tray. So we have the classic pearl spoons, because you never, ever want to use a metal spoon, because the metal is going to react with the caviar and change the flavor. So that is the death of it. So it is super, not only gauche, but gross.
Okay.
To use a metal spoon in the caviar. So you want to use something that's non-reactive. So this pearl spoon is the classic way to eat it. Aren't they cute?
They're adorable.
Oh, they're the worst when you're in a restaurant. Everyone steals them. But
oh, no.
But, you know, you can carry one of your own in the purse. And then I also brought some plastic spoons. Sure. Of course, they're going to be non-reactive too. But the one that I really love is I brought you my favorite spork.
Yeah.
So it's a spoon-fork combo made by a company called Bamboo. And they're made out of sustainable bamboo. Perfect. So you don't feel bad about using those and then disposing of them, because bamboo grows like a weed.
I do wonder why more companies, I mean, I guess it's the cost as far as, you know, using more biodegradable disposable.
I know. I love this stuff. This bamboo stuff, they make plates and tongs and just every sort of bit of serviceware. I threw a pool party a couple weeks ago and it was just the greatest thing since sliced bread, because, you know, we're all trying to use less plastic. So, and they're elegant. I mean, they're really pretty. We used all these bamboo plates on your tray with your caviar accompaniments that hopefully we'll get a chance to try.
Yeah, a party at your house would be a blast, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I think we had this party this afternoon.
Wait a minute. We didn't get our invitation.
Now, well, I was just practicing for you.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, Andrea, you mentioned that she had Greek caviar. So did you grow up eating? Because my mom, I remember when I was a kid, you know, sort of getting very excited and treating me to caviar. Uh-huh. But I think maybe 3 or 4 times in my whole life have I had caviar.
I have. Okay, so I've had, and this is right, Belinda, right? It's tata masalata.
Yes, yes.
And
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's called tata masalata, and it's so popular now. You could go to a Greek deli and buy it in a jar, or you can get, it's really not that expensive. I think a jar is maybe $10.
Even less than that now. I found it in the Burbs for like $4.99, container. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Greek deli by my house, and they sell it there as well, and I just love it. And I remember when I was little, it's pink, mm-hmm. so it's very pretty. And my mom said, put a little bit on a cracker and taste it. And I said, what is it? She said, first eat it, and then I'll tell you.
See if you like it first.
And I loved it.
So is it? Okay, well, I guess I'm going to find out. I'm being, I've got a little of the orange one. This is the
tobiko.
Is that the one?
Tobiko.
Yeah,
okay. The flying fish.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so what do you, so you've got potato chips. It looks like you've got some blue potato chips.
Yeah, isn't that fun? So I think there's a little formula to it. You know, you pick a starch, right? So the classic thing is to do that really buttery French bread called brioche. Okay. So we have a little toasted brioche. And then another way to do it is with a dark black bread. So black rye with a slather of butter with the caviar on top is also a classic. We bought chips. That's my favorite way to do it. And it's super easy, right?
Chips.
For a party. Yeah. So we have some vintners, you know, with the ridges. Mm-hmm. Ridges are fun. And then I brought fancy chips. So there's like purple Peruvian potatoes. Oh, so neat. You could do a little purple potato chip. There's a little creme fraiche, you know, fancy sour cream.
Do you have to start with a certain color?
You can do whatever you want. This is like a buffet. So, and then we bought, like, I love these chips, beet chips, taro root chips. They're they're fancy, you know. They make the whole thing a little shishi in a really easy way.
Did you bring pizza? Pizza puffs?
puffs?
I bought Testino pizza puffs because I like a little caviar on my pizza puff.
What is happening? Okay, so caviar and pizza puff. I love that Belinda's sitting around. She's like, what am I going to... I need to spruce up my pizza puffs.
Yeah, what are we going to do to them?
I got my pigs in a blanket and my pizza puffs.
Right? I love the Testinos. I'm sorry. I just love them. I mean, that's a taste of childhood.
This is going to be a crazy thing to say, but it doesn't taste fishy. No. I think you would imagine tasting it for the first time, because I've never had the three that you just served us, the green, the orange, and the and the yellow.
Yep.
And I know I'm being so gauche probably by identifying it by color as opposed to its name. But it doesn't... Do you think, Patty? I don't think it tastes fishy.
No, salty more than fishy. Look, hey, you're talking to a girl who loves anchovies.
So you're in.
I'm all in. I like oysters and anchovies. And
yeah, it's like adding a little salt to anything, right? So
exactly.
If you do unsalted potato chips, you add a little caviar, and then you have, you know, your salt that you need.
What is
and
this?
The green one's a little spicy. Did you try that wasabi tobiko?
That's good. I did.
Yeah.
It's got nice
really good.
But that's super good.
It's very subtle. It's not
super soft. Yeah, like you added a little pepper or something.
And you mentioned that you like this because it's a fun pairing with wine. Now, we won't be able to try any of the wine.
Yeah.
And we'll weep in the corner about that some other time. But what would you... I mean, a lot of people who like red wines...
You could do it. Well, so there's two classics. Like, caviar and champagne is an uber classic pairing that's centuries old. And caviar with just chilled vodka.
What?
So this is a little container that you put some crushed ice in I brought. And these glasses are for adding your chilled vodka. And then you keep the caviar in the center. So every little bite of caviar gets a little...
a little sip.
It's a lug of chilled vodka. Because, you know, these are really clean flavors. Like you said, it's not fishy. It's just kind of salty. So you have something refreshing to clear it out. But I also have my sort of version of surf and turf, where you get, you know, like a little steak and a little lobster. But
She's got so much
The way
stuff.
I like to do it, and you guys can try it, is get a little bit of this saucisson, or, you know, like dried sausage, and use that. And then it's no carbs, gluten-free.
Hello. So healthy,
and put a little caviar on top. I also brought some leaves of Belgian endive, because I love that. You know, I love to do, like, sour cream and onion dip. I mean, you know, old school.
Right.
And, you know, chips are sometimes just a little too filling. So, you know, you do a little crudité, a little vegetable. So you could do an endive, a little creme fraiche, and put some caviar on top. I think that'd be really good.
Well, we always used to, right, Patty? I think in general, we'd think, caviar would be black, teeny tiny little, and course, now these are colorful. The consistency, and we'll put pictures up on the web too, but the consistency, it goes from just like, look like little pieces of rock salt, and others look like little, the bubbles that you see like in bubble tea.
Yeah.
That's what
so many different. There's so many flavors, so many different like sizes of the eggs. You know, you can tell the quality if you get a little crunch.
Right.
You know, you
a little
can
snap
sort of,
almost.
Yeah, it's like bubble tea, right?
Yeah.
We love the little balls in bubble tea. So we did a round of tobikos, the colorful ones, and then I brought two different salmon caviars or salmon roes, one from Alaska and then one that's a Russian style. So those are really interesting
I've
and
made
fun.
A mess.
You can play with them. Oh, and then the last carb on our little platter. I got some hot from the plancha to jelly. You know, these little muffins, Italian almost like muffins that Sarah Grunberg at Monteverde.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she just made those like right before we got here for us. So that's a fun
one. Sarah from Monteverde makes us.
So you could put like a little butter on it if you want. So we have some really good European style butter there. And then you could put a little caviar on top of that. I think that'd be really nice. And then we're getting in the serious round here. These are the black.
This is the black. Okay.
Caviar. So now we're, you know.
Is this the more expensive?
These are. You've got from $1 an ounce on this little assortment up to a few $100s for the little container. So it's about rarity. But you know, it's funny, you do tastings of these caviars, if you do them blind, not knowing what they are, it's more about what style you love. I don't think that expensive in this case necessarily is quantitatively better. It's what you like. It's what salt you like, you know. It's what you like.
Well, it's a fun thing to try if it's something, you know, never really had that, as you mentioned, as part of a party.
Yeah.
It's sort of, it's an interesting conversation. Some people are going to feel very fancy because I think most of us grew up thinking that was, as you mentioned, it goes from a dollar an ounce to hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
But obviously something that people can try and see.
I think it's like the upgraded mashed potato bar. Do you remember the mashed potato bar where they would let you choose all the toppings?
I've never done that. Yeah. I finally did a Bloody Mary bar, and that made me very happy.
Oh, there you go. That's fantastic.
That makes me very happy. I have all those fixins. Go ahead.
Okay, so like, okay, so say you are. So this is our bar. This is our. Yeah. You know, I don't want not to compare it, of course, to the potato bar. But should you not mix? Should you mix caviars?
I think you can mix. I mean, you know, there's so many flavor possibilities here. You know, when you go to the fancy restaurant and you look at the menu and you're like, what's that special little box in the corner and it says caviar service? You know, usually they'll serve you one type of caviar. It's usually 1 ounce, one of these little individual glass jars. They'll probably serve you some of those little pancakes that they called Bellini, mm-hmm. That are really delicious. And then they'll give you a bunch of little bowls of accoutrement. So you might have some chives, some hard-boiled egg, some little red onion, all kinds of fun stuff, and then you sort of play around. But I think it's way more fun to get a little crazy, right? So if the premise is that this caviar just adds a really nice, clean, kind of briny, salty flavor to something, mm-hmm. you can put it on anything. You know, if you don't want pancakes, those fancy little Bellini, play awesome. Around. There's nothing. I mean, we've got little Velveeta mac and cheese.
What?
Little puffs.
All right, let's take a break.
And we're right here.
Absolutely.
Which wow. I also thought would be fun with a little caviar.
Oh, that's what that one is? Okay.
Yeah, I'm that's
it. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's next to your Tostino's pizza puff.
Yes.
This is awesome.
So far, I do like the Tostino, my pizza puff with caviar. I can see myself at night with a glass of wine watching, by the way, I just finished The Handmaid's Tale.
Like, oh, don't tell
drinking me. With a glass of wine
see?
And caviar.
Perfecto.
I would feel bad for Offred, you know, like poor Offred. Here I am with my caviar and wine. I don't know.
Your life is better.
Yes. I should just be having water and bread and, you know, under his eye.
But I think it's just a fun daily luxury. I mean, all of us are working really hard. There's a lot going on. Yeah. You know, why not stop for a minute and do something that's kind of crazy decadent, but it doesn't have to be. You know, everything here you can get at your grocery store.
Treat yourself to something fun once in a while. And so where would people find this in the grocery store? Usually, is it located near?
Usually in the seafood mm-hmm. area. So two places. So there's a seafood area and then where you find your canned tuna. So where the canned tuna and those little things of anchovies and smoked oysters and stuff, there's a brand called Romanoff that I've seen in just about every grocery store I've ever been to. And that's a little black lumpfish caviar. It'll be a little jar with a box on the outside. $5.99 for a couple ounces.
Awesome. I used to put Dijon mustard on everything. I went through this weird phase. Now I found my new...
You have a new condiment?
...go-to topping. I do. Because you can put this on anything. There's
Isn't
no limit.
Fun? Yeah. And it
As
seems
I bite into
so
my mac
fancy.
And cheese puff here. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's another way to do the caviar dose. Sorry. And
my
that's
daily.
To bump it. So if you don't want to do any of these fun accompaniments, which I think are all so fun to play with, you can make a fist and add a little caviar. And this is actually how you taste it when you're a master taster, because on your fist, you know, in your
The
little...
same place you put the salt for your tequila shots.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What?
You can put
sorry,
a little
Mom,
caviar there.
I never do that, Mom. Never do that.
There's no salt for tequila. There's no tequila. There's no alcohol. But so what happens when you're tasting it professionally, you want it to be just slightly warmed. And when you put it on your hand, you warm it just a little bit, and then you get a little more full flavor experience, and you get a little more of the textural too. It's just like wine. You know, you put the wine in the glass, and if you're kind of fancy, you swirl it around a
let
little bit. Let it breathe, quote unquote.
Sure.
And just show off that you're able to swirl it. So, you that's know, we awesome. Call that the caviar bump. So that's the really purest way to taste it.
And that makes sense when you're doing the vodka as well with that. You're mentioning
there
you have
go.
A little bit of chilled vodka in your caviar.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here. We're hanging out with Belinda Chang. It is National Caviar Day. Who decides these things, Belinda? We'll find out when we come back.
Someone up there.
Someone wants people to be adventurous in your culinary tastings. More after this on 720 WGN. It's a Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Andrea, we are so fancy with our caviar and grammar tonight.
We are. So
it's a caviar and grammar show.
It's like high end TV and 80.
I feel like I feel mellow. I don't know if the caviar is making me feel like, oh, just slow down a little bit.
Patty, I've gotten so snobby. Here's why. I was dabbing it on everything that Belinda brought, you know, the chip and then, you know, the puff and then the bread. Now I'm just eating it.
Just straight up off the spoon.
I'm just mixing it and
you
eating
gotta
it.
You got to bump it. You got to put it on your yeah. fist.
You're getting just... to the heart of the matter. I mean, you just go straight in. It gets the good stuff. I think there's a lot of not good stuff out there. I'm so when you have the good stuff, go for it.
Yeah, you don't want to leave this on your plate.
Are there any, do anyone that you work with, like, have concern, like, well, how, you know, what, how is this, how do they procure this, or how are the animals treated and things like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's kind of like truffles. You know, you've heard about these truffle hunters that are out there with the dogs or with the pigs digging underneath these oak trees.
I've never tried
for
that
the truffles.
Either. I've never tried that either, by the way.
We'll do that next time. We'll do that in the fall.
I wasn't trying to.
We'll do a truffle tasting. But, you know, those are guys that just board airplanes and then come in from France or from Italy or from China and bring the suitcases directly to the restaurants. That's the case sometimes with caviar, too. So you have to be careful. You need a guy or gal, you know, on speed dial, if this is going to be a habit for you and you want to observe National Caviar Day every day, it's good to make a friend. So there's a great guy here in Chicago. His name's Rod Marcus, and he owns a company called Rare Tea Cellar. So his original specialty was all these fine teas and pu'ers, those aged teas. But he's got this luxury laboratory in Ravenswood where if you're real nice and have the secret knock, they'll let you in. And he's got coolers filled with caviar. So we have one brand that we tried today called Caviari, which was the golden one and also one of the black caviars. And he has just coolers filled with the most beautiful caviar. So if you want to throw down and get a little decadent, he's the guy you're going to call. Go to his website. But like we said, you know, if you want to do this as sort of like a little daily indulgence, you know, you can go to, I went to Valley. My parents are out in the northwestern suburbs. I love that Valley grocery store.
Anything you say, I take as gold. I think your job is so cool. And I think it's so cool that you're a sommelier, first and foremost, right? I mean, that's kind of your passion.
Yep.
So how do you, I guess, well, this is maybe a leading question, but how does your palate really, you know, choose? Okay, are you looking for a certain, when you are either tasting wines or caviar, are you looking for something or do you just want the element of surprise? Like whatever hits you at that moment, or are you looking for something?
I think you're definitely looking for something. I think you're looking for very clear flavors in wine, in spirits, in all the food, because I think it speaks to freshness. It speaks to the fact that something was made properly and not manipulated. I tasted a group of wines the other day. They were all $7, which is not a category I taste very often, but it's out there. And, you know, there were some great things, but there were some things you could definitely taste were sort of chemical.
Yes.
So you knew there was some nutty business going on with producing those wines. So I think the same thing is in caviar. I love that you said it doesn't taste fishy. They taste very clean.
Very crisp,
like, I would say. The water, like the ocean. So, you know, all these luxury food products and artisan food products, they sort of speak to how they were produced, right? So you have to harvest these eggs humanely and in a proper way, and then you have to have a master of some sort who's doing the salting, and then everything has to be done at a proper climate. It has to be properly sent over here to us and then into our gullets. But so there's a lot you're looking for in that bite or in that taste, and you can find all of that when you have the experience tasting.
I'm gonna throw the news, Andrea, so I can just go ahead and scarf down everything that's on my tray. Also, the engineers have been gathering in the producer's booth, and I feel like I feel like I broke something.
Hey, Adam.
I'm gonna go in there and show them which button I pushed.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
Nice.
So just because I needed something to stop earlier. So
did we get
go
a fish egg lodged in something?
No.
Okay,
it was something I ran and did. So Adam's sort of watching and waiting for me to 30 for news. Oh. It is time now for our news. More with Belinda Chang when we come back after this news. She again has brought in some wonderful caviars. It is National Caviar Day. And let's go to the news, though, sponsored by Next Door and Window. Here is Andrea Darling. It is National Caviar Day, and to teach us a little something about caviar is Belinda Chang. She is the three-time James Beard Award nominee. She's been nominated three times, the James Beard Award, won twice. And by the way, Andrea, I've learned which one I like the most.
Ooh.
It'll be the $300 one.
Oh, is it one?
Yeah.
Okay, I like the bet. Okay, what one is the orange with the little bubbles?
Oh, Tobico.
Tobico.
Mm-hmm. That's my straight favorite. Up. It's straight up Tobico.
Oh, awesome.
Straight up Tobico.
Girlfriend, you can find that. It's $1 an ounce. You can just buy a big container of it.
Right?
And have it on everything.
See, I have to, like,
good. I have the cheap palate.
I have to eat.
No, but it's good because affordable luxuries.
Yeah. I have to eat each egg individually, every caviar egg.
Yeah, you do because you want the $100 one.
Conversely, I prefer $4 champagne to $400 champagne. So
really?
It sort of balances out that
there
way.
You go.
I'm a cheap date.
You can have them together, so yes. It's perfect.
You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And again, we're having some tasty treats from Belinda. And what are you up to these days? I know you started your own company.
Yeah, it's a... www.belindachang.com. I feel like I'm just trying to help everyone drink their best life and eat their best life. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of experience of eating and dining and pouring wine and serving food all over the world. And so I've been doing a series of events all over the country, pool parties in Aspen and luxury picnics here in Chicago. So there'll be much more to come. I think, you know, it's not that hard to live like a baller.
There you go.
When you know a couple of little tricks. Like, you know, if caviar is your thing, mm-hmm. you can do $7.99 caviar. None of your friends will ever know, right? So I think little things like that are great fun for me, and I love to share those tips and tricks.
What's one of your greatest finds?
Well, I was saying during the break that there's this box wine that I found at Target. $14.99 for this box of wine that has the equivalent of four bottles in it. And you can have it open for 4 weeks. And we took it for a spin at a picnic a couple weeks ago, and we could not get enough of it. I think one of the tricks for, you know, if you're not drinking $100 reds and you're a little nervous that your friends are wine snobs, is to serve it just a little bit chilled, and also serve it in a beautiful decanter. And, you know, a decanter doesn't have to be like a Riedel, you know, sommelier series $1 billion decanter. You can get a cute little glass pitcher at Target mm-hmm. or at Crate and Barrel. And then you decant the wine into that cute pitcher and pour it for all your friends. And they think you've done something so fancy and that you must be pouring something super amazing. You tell them that you dug it out of your cellar. You know, what cellar? I live in a studio apartment. So. But then, you know, and you serve it in great glasses, and everybody is just thinking that you're the most generous host that they've ever had the pleasure of, you know, drinking with.
There is something fun about box wine, even like the individual ones.
You're love
like, you just feel so like I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why. There's something just sort of whimsical about having box wine.
And there's
wine.
Some great mm-hmm. ones right yeah. now. Yeah. I mean, it's not just that Franzia pink stuff that we had in the beginning. And I think we drank a lot of that in college.
Yeah. Oh, but, my gosh. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. I mean, is there a difference when you're buying? I mean, because a lot of wines will have a screw top. Like if you're traveling, mm-hmm. that makes yeah. sense. And you don't have yeah. a wine opener. But yeah. that seems to be more common these days to have twist tops.
I think they're also just kind of worried because there is something called cork taint. So a certain percentage of natural corks that are produced and used to close bottles are going to be tainted with this compound called TCA, which is the one that makes the cork and your bottle smell like, well, it smelled like my grandmother's basement.
Oh, wow. A little musty. Also,
yeah, yeah, or musty, or, you know, like wet cardboard is another common descriptor for cork taint. Or, you know, when someone says, waiter, I think my bottle is corked, that's what they're talking about. And it only happens, well, most of the time only happens when you have a cork that's tainted. So if you put the screw top onto the bottle, you're avoiding that problem in yeah. general. So that's why they like to do it, because you have a little more security yeah. and then you don't mm-hmm. stab yourself with a corkscrew.
Right.
Well, and especially if you get a cork that has dried out. Now yeah. when you're trying to yeah. uncork it, it crumbles into the wine.
It's bad news.
Yeah.
It's real
very sad.
Sad. I have a lot of people, friends will send me pictures of bottles that have been in their basement for 20 years.
Oh,
or,
my God.
You know, they find
is
in a cabinet. Yeah. And I'm like,
no. I know this will be like asking you to pick one of your favorite children, but what would be one of your favorite regions for wine?
Well, you know, I'm a champagne gal for sure. I love all the artistry that goes into a bottle of champagne. I mean, it's pretty amazing. We never even get to see those bottles until they've been resting and aging and, you know, being perfected for years, which is amazing. But, you know, I think wine travel is one of the greatest things, you know, since sliced bread, right? Because all the regions, all the people are so wonderful. I don't know if it's because they're boozy, but, you know, yeah. going to Italy and traveling through Tuscany and Piedmont and, you know, Friuli is so much fun. I'm headed to Portugal in a couple weeks for the first time, so I'm so excited to go through Lisbon and taste the sweet wines and the big reds that they have that are pretty fantastic in the Douro Valley.
Sure.
So I never met a wine region that I didn't love. I'll be totally honest.
If you had a chance, you should go down to near Springfield, Dannenberger
yeah.
Family Vineyards. Our friend Susan Dannenberger has this beautiful venue. She's got both the vineyards. She grows a lot of the wines here. She obviously mm-hmm. does a lot of the mixing here, but she also has a performance space.
Love it.
So it's a really yeah. fun destination for folks, just to throw that out there.
Those are very wine cool. people are the best people. I've met so many great great friends.
Oh, yeah. My cousin married a man from Oregon, and they, so we were introduced to the Oregon wine country, the Willamette Valley, and then the Washington wines, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can I'll never drink a foreign wine again. Of course I have, but well. I mean, you know, but though, I mean, our United States and, you know, Illinois, like you just said too, Patty, wonderful.
We have wines made in all 50 states. So it is possible to try wines from Missouri and from Ohio. It's pretty phenomenal. Like, we do have the know-how. Yes. We can do it anywhere in the country. So I think that's pretty fantastic.
Do you do any of the, like, the tours in, throughout the Midwest, or do you prefer to go someplace wonderful like Argentina and Portugal?
No, I you show me a winery and I'm going to stop.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. That's what my husband and I do. It was when we traveled before we had kids, we would do pub crawls.
Ugh.
But we would have a theme. And like in London, for example, we did pubs that had been there from before the Great Fire in London. So from like the mid-1600s and before.
Very cool.
So I think it's an interesting idea to figure out something to frame it. If you're interested in whether it's food or it's a great way to meet new people and have new experiences.
Well, that's why I think we're so lucky that we live in Chicago. All the great restaurants have great bars. So you can do things like that. I mean, we did a carbonara crawl.
Oh, yes.
My friend Mark and I went to 3 restaurants and had 3 carbonaras in one night. So, you know,
then they ran the marathon the next day.
It's pretty decadent. Whoa. But boy, was it fun.
I had to live there for a minute. You know, in high school, that was my favorite pasta dish. I don't know if my mom knows this, but she made a great, I don't know if she knows how much I loved it. I loved it so, because I was a swimmer, so I would take like Tupperware of it so that I could carb up before swimming, and I would have these you just brought back wonderful memories.
So she was a great chef. That's like, it's hard to make.
She makes great chilaquiles. She makes a great pot roast. I mean, she does all the wide variety of things, but her carbonara was, I think it was, remember the Frugal Gourmet?
Yeah.
Jeff Smith.
Of course. Yeah, Jeff Smith.
I think that was where she got that.
His recipe.
Yes.
He had that burgundy apron that he wore all the time. Uh-huh.
How did you get it? Were you younger when you too much caviar. When you realized that you had, this is what you wanted to do.
I was pretty obsessed with what my mom was doing in the kitchen. So my mom went to culinary school in Taiwan before they moved here. And so she's a proper Chinese, Taiwanese chef. So we would have my dad was a research chemist. So we had students over at our house all of the time. And so there'd be 9 course, you know, dinners with everything made a la minute, you know, in the moment. So it was pretty amazing to grow up. And I think my favorite thing to do, so they should have known from the very start, I love to set the table.
Wow.
I love choosing the placemats and, you know, polishing the glassware and choosing which silverware we were going to use. So I don't know why they're surprised in any way, shape, or form that I ended up doing.
That's lovely, though.
I ended up doing with my life. I just thought it was so fun because, you know, like, I love this exchange of food and drink. You know, it's like, it's showing love and care and
hospitality. And the presentation, obviously, too.
Yeah. Yes. I think, you know, it's a wonderful gift to give yourself and also to someone else. Like, I'm the super crazy one that even if I get delivery food at night, you know, I move it all onto plates and fold myself a linen napkin, you know, like,
Oh, yeah. I always, well, I don't know about linen napkins, but paper towel do, but I always plate things up. It's funny. I realized the other day that when we get carry out, my husband waits for me to do it because he likes the way I arrange things.
Yeah.
Right? But what's also, it's sweet, but he doesn't like a lot of different apps, so he doesn't have Grubhub on his phone, so he'll call me and be like, hey, can you order us some Thai food, or hey, can you take, at least this you can do,
right?
But I agree, though, there's something that feels good about, like, not just eating it off the big styrofoam containers when you flip
plating
that open.
I love
plating it.
And, you know, I know a lot of people are going for Instagram moments and social media moments, like, yes, my life always looks like this, but I think it's really satisfying to sit down to something really beautiful because we don't just eat with our palates and our noses, we eat with our eyes too. So I think when everything's really beautiful, you can really elevate the dining moment.
So what does a Belinda Chang do just to have a snack? I mean, obviously, potato chips and caviar seems to be.
Right, I get 9 caviars. Right. And search the city for the perfect dark rye bread.
Netflix and caviar with Belinda.
Well, my new kick is I love crudité. So 9 different vegetables beautifully sliced and arranged.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That's cream
and dip. Like, I always, there's one thing I always have in my refrigerator, and you have it on one of the plates here. It's creme fraiche, you know, the fancy sour cream. So Allison Hooper got inducted into the James Beard Who's Who this year, and she owns this company called Vermont Creamery. So you can find this in all the grocery stores locally, and they make mascarpone, and it's all made here in Vermont, and they make creme fraiche and all the fancy sort of dairy stuff.
Yeah.
And you buy a little small container, and it's the bumped up sour cream. You're like, whoa, I can make French onion dip fancy. I can just make my baked potato more fancy. I'm into the dips. Like, I like a little Lipton's, Nors.
I went when we were in Greece. And when you go to Greek town here too, it's all about the dips. You know, the tzatziki, the tarama, the skodalia. It's all the different dips and the garlic. And I love how each restaurant prepares them. And that's kind of cool too. Each restaurant, if you pick Pilsen or Greek town or Little Italy, wherever you go, everyone makes that dish just a little differently.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah. That's the thing. I agree. You have to have different experiences. And by the way, I think people should be following your Instagram account that they can.
I'm going to go on now.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's Belinda_Chicago. And
thanks.
You have all these great photos of not just food, but places that you've been and people that you... Mine is filled with a bunch of selfish selfies. But you mix it up a lot more. And I love this. You did a great job of that. I love how much sort of wonderful energy you bring to talking about food and how excited you are for people to try different things.
Thank you. I think, I worked in so many of those temples of high cuisine where it was really almost a little scary. I know my first job, I was so terrified. I cried every night for the first 3 months because I didn't want to make a mistake. You know,
what was your first job?
It was here in town at Charlie Trotter's.
My gosh.
Yeah. So it was
you started
first
at
job
the bottom, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
And I was just real scared, you know, because we wanted everything to be perfect. We wanted your 3 hours in the restaurant to be perfect. But, you know, yes, the food was beautiful and we had a huge wine list, but, you know, that's not how I love to dine. You know, I want to be with people I love. That's most important. Eating delicious stuff, but in a more kind of comfortable way. And it can still be really elevated. You can still level up your game and have, you know, greater product or, you know, amazing wines. But I think that, you know, these days, I also want to eat at home. Like, I've got a little bit of, I'm not going to lie, restaurant ennui. Like, we've all been so obsessed about getting to the new place first and all this kind of thing and 6-hour dinners that, you know, give you like, how am I going to pay my mortgage kind of feeling.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And now I just want to go to all my friends' house for dinner parties to see what they'll do and like learn their recipes and all that kind of stuff.
I'm always fascinated with people when I go over to their house and see what they'll throw together or when I stay with somebody and I'm like, wow, your process is so different than mine. And you pick up things when you watch how other people do it. You know?
Right. And when people will welcome you to their home for a dinner party or a lunch, I think that's like super special and really awesome.
Have you seen I've kind of seen a shift to that lately, you know, in the past year, haven't you guys too? Are you girls?
Yeah,
because
for
it
sure.
used to be, I know gastronomy and, you know, foodies, I know that's still very much in, but I've noticed more that, you know, you go to someone's house and then they have this setup or, you know, Christmas parties now with things labeled. I mean, it's just really kind of nice doing it at home now.
I love that. I love it. Well, I also think that, you know, they said that when we were all watching so much food TV, I don't know about you too, but I definitely watch a lot less than I used to, that people felt like they were cooking because they were watching cooking shows. So people were actually cooking a lot less, even though we had so many more cooking shows and cooking magazines and all that kind of stuff. And so now I think a lot of us are just more interested in like having that really authentic, genuine, hands-on experience at home.
And I haven't watched many cooking shows in a long time.
Me neither.
You know what I loved when I was a kid was the Yan Can Cook.
Oh, Yan Can Cook.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
With that chicken.
Yes.
He could chop it all up in, you know, 60 seconds.
He was so excited about what he was doing. Did you ever see the Yan Can Cook?
No.
Oh, YouTube has got to have some videos of him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he's still around. I have like 3 of his cookbooks. He's
great.
He's got a knife line.
More recently I would watch Bobby Flay and then I love Master
Chef. He's great. Oh, Master Chef.
How they'd run
so
around
fun.
And try it. And Chop too. But those are the most recent ones I think I've watched.
And Gordon Ramsay I watched for a while. And then the yelling gets to be a bit much for me.
The junior shows with the little
kids.
Well, you're just like, oh my gosh, how can this 7-year-old figure out how to make something on the fly?
Right.
You know, without even having recipe or anything. It's just remarkable.
That's
very cool.
Uh-huh.
Let's take a break because I got to eat some more of the caviar. We're hanging out with Belinda Chang. She's teaching us a little bit about her culinary experiences and caviar in particular. It is National Caviar Day.
Yeah.
More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrew Darlis when we come back in just a moment.
Thank you.
is a two-time James Beard winner. She now has an agency that specializes in luxury marketing, branding, development, training, events and content creation, and execution with photo, video, and on-air capabilities for champagne and caviar clients. I aspire to being a champagne and caviar client.
Me too. But my taste is the $7, caviar, so I'm not quite there yet.
Which means that anybody could really be a caviar and champagne client.
Anybody can be at one. Yeah. Caviar champagne life is accessible to all.
Right. Like I said, I like my $4 bottle of champagne. Apparently, I also like the $300 charred caviar that I have once every 5 years.
We'll switch, yeah.
Yeah. Does it make, when you make a presentation like this, what is the kind of range of reactions? I mean, some people are very hesitant and kind of like, what am I doing?
It's funny. I think with caviar in particular, people don't really know a ton about it. Like maybe you had it at the company party once and you sort of remember or don't really remember. And, people are generally impressed that it's there, if it's on a table or in a spread. But I don't think people could identify necessarily what is inexpensive versus expensive or if there's a particular style that you like. That's why I think this is kind of like a fun, special moment for us because I don't even get to do this, have 9 different caviars at one time. Like it's so
this is,
cool.
We call this Tuesday.
Yeah. we make this a weekly thing now.
Yeah. Champagne and caviar host. Okay.
So amazing. Yeah. So, I think it's that's why I'm so interested in caviar right now. And I want to learn everything that I can learn about it and go on the trips. Maybe we can all go to Italy tomorrow and, visit Calvisius where they have the farm-raised sturgeon pools. And, we can go to Paris. I mean, there's a lot of great caviar destinations.
Well, I think that's, again, we were talking about this in the last segment about how, sort of basing your experiences traveling around food is a great way to learn about a region, and in Chicago, it's a great way to learn about a neighborhood. Go to Pilsen and try a Mexican restaurant. Go to Greektown. Where do we go to Greek? What do you like in Greektown?
Boy, I have 3 favorites. I love Athena.
Mm-hmm. Classic. It's OG.
I love Athena. But that'd be my number one. Greek Islands. Mm-hmm. Love Greek Islands. The food is just so authentic.
Beautiful restaurant too.
Yeah, and it's just wonderful and delicious. And I love Artopolis too.
Oh, which one?
It's Artopolis. Mm-hmm. It's very casual. But there's a bar, a full bar, and just they have meals, and it's a bakery cafe.
Okay.
So it's really nice, too. So I think those would be, you can't go wrong. I mean, I've never had a bad meal in Greektown. I know people like Santorini for the fish. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say those are my 3 go-tos.
I love it. That's so fun. Well, I've been visiting a lot of caviar bars. We have a couple.
In Chicago.
Yeah. So we have Heritage Caviar Bar, which is out west a bit, and it's been open for, I think, a year or so, and they have over 15 different types of caviar at all price levels. So that's a really fun spot. And then it's not a traditional caviar bar per se, but they have a great sort of list of caviar dishes at Cafe Marijan. It's a place that I super, super am obsessed with. You can go and just have caviar toast. There's caviar pasta. Like there's a million ways to use this food product. As we saw, we were eating it with everything, which is really fun today. But people will do caviar spaghetti. People will do, soup with a little dollop of sour cream with caviar on top. So there's like a million ways and a million restaurant dishes all over the country.
Fancy. And why do we associate it with the Russians? Was it something that the aristocrats, the royalty.
That crew, they love themselves some luxury, right? All those czars and czarinas. Yeah. So this sturgeon is really popularly fished in Russia. So they were the first to really kind of codify this beautiful way of curing the eggs.
Oh, they did? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware.
They were the first ones to really buy a lot of champagne too. So we love them for that.
Oh, that's so neat.
And I love that it was a woman, one of the first, sort of major business women, Veuve Clicquot, the Widow Clicquot, right? A lot of us have had that champagne with that big orange label, even though they call it yellow label, which makes no sense. But I mean, her husband died when she was in her 20s. And so she took over the business. And this is in the 1700s. I mean, this is way back before there were a lot of lady bosses out there. And she was the really clever one to get into the courts of the czars in Russia. Wow. And the Russians drank so much champagne that if you went out to have a glass of champagne in Russia, you called it a glass of Clicquot. You didn't say, I want a glass of champagne. You said, I want a glass of Clicquot.
It was associated with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was super badass. I love it.
Well, Belinda, thank you so much for really it's something unique and different that for us to try. And maybe some people will not, you know, if caviar is not your thing,
yeah.
there is the idea of enjoying, you know, eating and drinking in ways that maybe you haven't thought of before.
Yeah.
So try it, you know, try it, though, because there are some that are salty, some that are peppery, some that
yes. taste some like that are fruity, yeah. some that are buttery. It's just,
yes.
yeah.
It's very good.
You haven't lived. Potato chip. You haven't lived until you've at least tried it once.
And especially if you haven't tried it on a potato chip or a pizza puff.
That's right. Yeah.
Mac and cheese puff.
Not many have dared.
Chip, right?
We did it all. Thank you so much, Belinda. How can people
My
find
pleasure.
Out more about you?
So I'm at www.belindachang.com or Belinda_Chicago.
Yeah, she's got some great photos on her Instagram account, so check that out. Have a great time. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Belinda.
See you before you go off to Portugal.
Cheers.
All right, yes. then. It is time now for our news. And don't forget, if you want to, you know you want to. You want to celebrate the planet's most valuable person weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN. And if you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Your news is sponsored by Wexler Realty Group. Here is Andrea Darlis. You're listening to Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We got so many texts about annoying grammar, as we've been, as Andrea has been reporting. President Trump walked back some of his statements that he made as he had a press conference yesterday with Vladimir Putin. And one of the listeners, I was because the president is now saying, I don't know why the Russians wouldn't interfere with the election. So I had said earlier, then he is saying perhaps that there is then basis and reason to continue the investigation. And somebody texted in that the investigation is about collusion, not about meddling. However, the Mueller. So here we go. What exactly is the Robert Mueller investigation? The investigation is the continuance of an FBI investigation started when it came to their attention that there was inappropriate communications between persons involved in the presidential election campaign and high-ranking Russian officials. This came through the concerns of one of the drunken ramblings of George Papadopoulos in a bar in England. The concerns were further heightened with the hacking of the DNC emails, which is what the indictments were about on Friday.
Right.
So these are things that they dovetail together to be part of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not if people want to say it's about collusion, it is about the suspicious.
Okay, well, how about this? Meddling that exactly. Meddling then leads to collusion.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
So it's kind of like one and the same.
Exactly. Ashley, can you grab our guest from the hallway? Don DePetta is going to be joining us. He just got off of the stage at Zany's.
Oh, cool.
Right. So this is to what I was saying. And here's the thing. I am no expert. This is my understanding of it, is the suspicion, the information that came to the attention of the Department of Justice and the FBI. This is the way I'm interpreting this information. What I'm finding from my research, that it is both.
Right. And here's the thing, Patty. Just as we all pay taxes, we're mm-hmm. Illinois residents. I personally, you know, and I think most people would feel the same way, don't want their information. I don't like when I get spam on my cell phone
right.
or if I get, you know, a hacker call or, you know, an email where it says do not, you know, and I can tell it's spam. I don't want my information accessed, you
right.
know, by anybody. And people are saying, well, you know, what if Russia did access it? So what? What are they going to do with it? You know, somebody hacking and taking your information.
Selling it to people who want to use your identity.
Exactly. Identity theft. It can just lead to a lot of things. They could change, you know, the allegations here that, you know, information was changed or mismanaged. Mm-hmm. You know, we had this, we've done stories on Equifax now and Target and all these data breaches. You don't want your information hacked.
Right.
Unless somebody out there says, hey, I don't mind if my information gets hacked, which I think it'd be few and far between to find
right.
that.
Yeah. So I think that people would want to know. It's devastating to find out. We should all be concerned that foreign agents hacked into our computers over, I think it was 22 American states and their voting information.
Right.
that seems relevant and pertinent. And furthermore, in this investigation, because there was Russian meddling, so was there anybody involved that led to that?
Right.
So, you know, as Mueller said at the very beginning, he will follow the investigation to where it takes him. And on Friday, it took him to 12 indictments.
Right. And Mueller and before him, Comey, these are not partisan people. These are not, you know, and I know people are going to say what they want to say about Comey and helping Hillary. And then on the flip side, or, you know, helping Trump. Mm-hmm. They're not partisan. They're law enforcement officials. You know, they don't have an agenda. They have nothing to gain by who's, you know, if Hillary wins or Donald Trump. They're just doing an investigation. So what reason would either Mueller or Comey, now specifically Mueller, what reason would he have to, you know, try and want to see the president of the United States impeached?
Well, and I heard a guest, I'm not sure if it was a journalist on Ro Khan's show, but I heard a guest say on this station that the FBI tends to be conservative and voted more significantly for President Trump than they did for Hillary Clinton. I don't know where they get that information, I would imagine.
I think law enforcement tends to be a little more conservative.
That's been my experience, but I'm not going to make
my experience. Yeah,
I don't want to make a broad, you know, sweeping statement about law enforcement and where, you know, that always confuses me a little bit, because especially with the case that was recently decided by the Supreme Court, which decided that people don't have to pay their union dues.
Yeah,
and that is going to affect people that are first responders, for our teachers and things like that. So we'll see. And that tends to be a more conservative side, to really limit the abilities of unions to negotiate on behalf of their members.
Absolutely.
So interesting developments. But we did have a lot of, anyway, I wanted to address that text that said that the investigation that I had misspoken. Again, that's your understanding. I have a different understanding, and that's what the conversation is about. And so I thank you for your text, and we will continue to have these conversations. On the other hand, because the president said that his statements yesterday were the result of a double negative.
Yes.
We got into a conversation about grammar and what are your sort of quirks about grammar? What drives you crazy when it comes to grammar? And our text screen, I'm still scrolling back all the way. We had so many texts come in. I feel like I didn't get to any of them. I got like maybe four, but here are a few of them. I had this conversation with Emerson Newton John today. I don't know who that is. Pronouncing the word because. I say because, he and you ladies say because. I don't know what that means.
Because?
C-U-Z. Like it,
because. Because.
Because.
Oh, instead of because?
Because? Oh, I can't say because.
I can't say because either.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to drive you crazy with that one. Because.
But I say hot dog, too. So I think that drives
hot
people.
Hot dog?
Hot dog.
That's a Chicago sound, isn't it? Like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We don't say the C correctly.
No,
we say Wisconsin.
I say mom.
Mom?
You know, I do.
Ma. Hey, where's your ma?
Where's your ma?
I say ma a lot, too. My dad said ma. Ma and pa. Had this. Let's see what else we have. Oh, hold on a second. Have you come across anyone saying, see in the email below or in the below letter rather than in the letter below? It drives me nuts, and you can tell me whether it drives you crazy too. I don't know.
Okay, so if I send you, so say I send you a story and I say see email below.
Right. See email or see attached note.
I don't see a problem with that.
In what sense would you say see in the email? I guess if you're forwarding something and continuing a conversation, you're looping someone into the conversation.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Like if we're booking a guest and they send me an email and I say, oh, hey, Patty, what do you think of having this person on Friday? See email below.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that, though,
no,
do you?
But they're trying to direct you to make sure you have all the information that they're trying to share with you.
Right.
From the 708, if my wife has any grammatical errors in her texts, I do not respond!
Oh, which I know so many people who use the voice recorder to text, and I'm guilty of it too sometimes, but I'll go back and correct my mistakes. So I'll say, you're going to be, you know, here today, and it'll put Y-O-U-R.
Right.
Instead of you are. And now I will go back and correct it, though, because I hate that.
I always go back and correct.
Yeah.
I try to. I also do a lot of voice to text now.
I know.
So
me too.
That gets even more dicey.
T-O-O.
T-O, though. Here's from the 301. These drive me crazy. Recurrence is a word. Reoccurrence is not.
Correct.
Regardless is a word. Irregardless is not.
Yeah, we brought that up earlier, too. That was good.
There, at Virginia Beach, they have signs at the intersection that say, don't block the box. Oh, we were talking about don't get in the box.
Oh,
when you're in a traffic jam. Don't get in the box. I have to agree with that.
I do, too.
If you're not going to be able to clear the box, don't get in the box.
Don't get in the box.
It's all about the box.
Yep. Speaking of box, I have to correct the score. It's 2-1 American League.
Oh, okay.
I gave a score from my previous screen. I know. Thank you, texters, for those watching the All-Star Game and listening to us.
There you go. That's Aaron who's watching the All-Star Game. So it's All-Stars. The American League is winning
2-1.
2-1. Excellent. Thank you for that, Aaron. Leo says, I have a pet peeve when people use the word got. If someone was teaching you proper English, they would not use the word got.
I don't like the word got either. Well,
I guess if it depends on what the sentence. You know what I got you? Oh, my dad talked like that.
Yeah, I do say that.
You know what I got you from the store?
I got you one.
I got you one.
Right.
I got one for you. I don't know.
I have one for you. But then get in it with you, can you?
I don't know. This is now I'm using I when it should be me. Oh, we got into that one. Between you and me. Because it would not be between you and I.
Correct.
Unless you have a verb to follow. Right? Between, not between you and I. It would never be between you and I.
No.
It would definitely be between you and me.
You and me.
It'll be between the breaks. More after this on 720. Our friend comedian Don DePetta just off the stage at Zany's joining us in just a moment to talk about a movie he's coming out this fall and see how he's doing. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN. Andre, I feel a little bit badly.
Because I'm loving every bump.
No, I love the music. I feel badly because we're gonna have to rope our friend Don DePetta, a comedian who's performing at Zany's on Wells this week, into our conversation about grammar. Hey, yeah. Don, how are you doing
tonight? Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I'm really well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You were at the Rosemont Zany's last week.
I was,
yes. Such a great venue.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's one of the best clubs.
Yes.
It's like it was tailor-made by comics.
It was, and you know, all the things around it were wonderful too. It's hard competing with fireworks on Thursday, but
yes.
other than that.
Oh. And they've got a live music venue there during the week.
Billy
too.
Joel cover band this past week. I enjoyed it. I actually skipped out on my set early, went and watched.
Did you really? You're like, wait a minute, that's my song. I gotta get out of here.
Like, I gotta go.
Got a time to go. What have you been up to, Don?
Oh, what have I been up to? So many things. Touring a lot.
Yeah.
Stand up this kind of year has kind of taken off, so it's been a lot of weeks on the road this year. And earlier this year, I filmed a feature for Universal.
Congratulations!
Thank you. That's coming out November 21st, called Green Book. Wow, we're starting the plugs early here.
Yes. Wow. Well, I want to know because your dad was really proud. What's Green Book? Is this based on the book, The Green Book for Kids, with the post-apocalyptic?
So no, different Green Book.
Yes,
this is based on the Negro's Motorist Lodge back in like the 50s, 60s, and 50s and 60s up until like Jim Crow kind of like was. Yeah, it's a serious film.
Oh wow.
It's a drama.
Yes.
It stars Viggo Mortensen.
No, I
from
love
Lord of the Rings,
Viggo.
And,
yes,
Mahershala Ali from he won an Oscar for Moonlight.
Sure.
Yeah, that was weird. They both walked in the room the first day that I was on set, and I was like, both of you were nominated for Oscars last year. Hi, how
wow.
are you?
Wow. And then Sebastian is in it too.
And then Sebastian Maniscalco and I play brothers in
oh
the film.
Really?
That's a huge stretch though, right?
Right.
Isn't it? I don't know how anybody could see that.
Two Italian guys playing brothers. That works out really well. I love that. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Viggo Mortensen is one of my favorites, but the movie I always think of when I think of him is when he in G.I. Jane with Demi Moore.
So good. Oh. That mustache is incredible.
I know. And his thighs. Anyway.
Okay. Wait, you know what I think of? Gwyneth Paltrow and Michael Douglas.
Oh, yes.
Remember? Was it not The Perfect Murder, was it?
It was.
Is that what it was?
Yes, it was The Perfect Murder.
And she cheated on Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Yes. With Viggo Mortensen.
We're going to talk about Viggo's career, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Viggo has a far more impressive career than I do. If you'd like to talk, can I tell you one, like, the most interesting thing about that man, hands down, is the fact that he still owns a flip phone.
Oh, come on.
He owns a flip
phone.
For real? Yeah. We would finish a take, and then he'd walk outside, he'd smoke a cigarette, and he'd flip open his phone, and he'd just... I love that.
Like
when you just text like the one letter at a time, you have to hit that 7 button 4 times. Yeah, that was him.
That is great. Yeah. And you've been doing comedy for how many years? I don't even know why I ask comics. I hate being asked that because I always change the number.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's what you bring to the stage, the personality.
You know.
What are you focusing on when you're at clubs now? Is it autobiographical? Are you doing a lot of observational?
Oh, wow. It's a lot of observational stuff now.
People driving you crazy in public?
So much.
Just saying.
People, no situational awareness.
None.
Just feel what's around you. Okay, that's my... If anybody takes anything from this tonight.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's a lot of observational stuff now. I'm still talking about myself a little bit, but I feel like I'm comfortable enough now to have opinions.
Right.
You know, I think when most comics start out, they don't... feel comfortable enough to be like, this is how I feel about this.
Right.
And now I'm just like, well, I don't care. Here it is.
And that's a place to get to, whether it's confidence, time. And because comics don't want to alienate the people in the audience. They don't want to feel like, well, I'm not going to get booked here. You're always worried about getting booked.
But right? Everybody gets alienated over everything now.
Yes.
I feel like, say something. You can say hi. And people are like, don't assume that I'm having... Don't assume that I want you to say hello to me. And you're just like, no, this is too much. So right. I just don't. And I think as comics, like, we have this, like, we're like the last, we are the last line of free speech. Yep. And being able to say, like, no, this needs to be said, and I don't care. And, like, we're going to talk about things. And, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be.
Do people still heckle?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Still heckle.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. It's the people that answer everything that we say, too, that makes me crazy.
I have people that are like, and here's the thing. Like, I love them because they feel so involved in a part of the show where they're like, yeah. And I'm like, no. I got this next one without you.
Yes.
I promise. Like, I got this next one without you. But, yeah, I had a guy in Rosemont this week that as second I got on stage, he, like, just in on me. And he was like, I'm helping. And I was like, no, you're not.
Oh, no.
You're hurting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, there was somebody in Chicago who wrote a piece a few years ago that encouraged people to heckle.
Where does this man live?
Yeah, it was. You can Google it,
and I
think it was in the Tribune or online.
Yeah.
And we were no. Their point was you challenge a comic and see what they're really made of. See if they're naturally
challenge me and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I've told this story before, or I refer to this. I got to the point where I would just go up. I would walk off the stage to the table to let everybody know where they're sitting.
Really?
I will stop the entire show, go to the whatever table is. I want everyone to know where the people who are sitting that ruined the show. Everybody else here paid for their tickets, paying them for their drinks, paid for babysitters and dinner and parking.
Yeah.
And these are the jerks that think that they're more important than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, sorry.
No, it really is too much sometimes.
It is. Yeah. Have you ever seen a fight break out in a club?
No. But
me neither. I didn't start it.
No. Did you fight somebody?
I did not end up fighting, but
I may have helped
start it.
Tim Wilson, we talked about this last time I was here.
Yes,
Tim Wilson's the only, like, he's one of the only stories where, like, he literally said, like, sir, we're gonna fight, like, after the, and, like, he went outside.
No.
He went outside in the middle of the show, beat this guy up, and then went back inside and finished the show.
And Tim was a big dude.
Tim was a big man.
Yeah.
Tim was a big man.
And he was funny because he was loud and he was opinionated and he was one of the most kind-hearted people that I ever knew.
And
we lost him several years ago.
Yeah. Brilliant human being.
Yeah, music writer and everything. Aww. I told you this story when I was traveling with the Bob and Tom Comedy All-Stars and I had rented my own car and Donnie Baker was standing outside and I think Tim Bedore.
Donnie Baker.
Tim was, yeah. And I had my own car and I kind of like being in the car by myself and thinking about stuff, not talking to anybody. And Tim and I didn't agree on everything necessarily politically. Then he would get very loud about it. Him and Drew Hastings would yell at me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Donnie Baker goes, hey, Patty, you don't got anybody in your car. Why don't you take Tim?
Aww,
and I was like,
isn't
no.
It the worst?
But it ended up being five of the best hours of my entire life,
really?
Andrea. I was dreading it when he got in the car.
Yeah.
And he was... it was the greatest conversation. I was devastated to hear that. I mean, I liked him before that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adored him after that five hours driving through Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing is that you grew up watching all these great comics too.
Yeah, I grew up with all of them. Yeah, yeah, I think his first album cover, I think he was dangling me upside down in a diaper.
Oh.
Yeah. You're like the cooler, more handsome Pauly Shore of comedy.
Okay. I've gotten
everyone
that
say that?
I've
yes.
gotten that a few times.
But I hope you get the cooler, handsomer
well,
thing.
Well, I appreciate that part. Thank
yes.
you so much.
And great eyebrows, too.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Oh, my God, yes.
I owe that to my eyebrow lady out in L.A.
Okay.
Shout out to her.
Wax or thread?
I get them threaded.
Oh, you do have a thread?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just do the wax.
You never done the threading?
No, have you?
Yeah, I've done the threading.
You
I
like it better? Is it more painful?
No.
I haven't done wax.
You like it better?
I do wax.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do the threading.
I like the threading better.
I have no shame in it.
I don't know how they do it.
You shouldn't have shame. Oh, my
you.
God. There's more men who get pedicures at my pedicure place than women.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Really? Where do you go?
Well, you
not that I want to see these men's
feet. No,
feet.
It was Nordstrom, where when we were at the tower, I would go just, for a quick manicure, and guys would just come in and out for pedicures.
Well, it makes sense, too, for anybody who wants to be presentable. But, Don, you got to be on screen, too.
Yeah,
I do.
So now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky enough where that's starting to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes.
It's so great when you see comics that you know, and I'm sure this has happened your entire life. life, you know, seeing them on the screen. I worked with the great Larry Miller at the Punchline in Atlanta. Another great, you would recognize him if you saw him, Andrea.
Okay, yeah.
All the way back to Pretty Woman. People always make this reference. He's the salesman who is kissing Richard Gere's ass, and he goes, don't kiss my ass, kiss her ass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when you see comics that you grew up knowing, isn't it great to see them on TV and in movies and like getting it?
Yeah, it's super cool. And Sebastian, one who was just in this film, they had to see him get on, you know, get a big movie and stuff like that. He's terrific.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, very Sebastian funny. Hears he's so about funny. This. I'm going to tell him. I'll openly say it. But I screwed with him on set because he's not normally an actor. He's this huge stand-up comedian who sells out arenas and stuff like that. So he's not. And like my background was in acting before I started doing stand-up. So we would do run-throughs before they would set up cameras. And so we would do rehearsals for, you know, the director and the cinematographer. And then they'd bring like 40 people in and we'd do this rehearsal. And then they'd break us for 25 minutes so they could set up. And I'd find Sebastian in the hallway and he'd be pacing. And I'd be like, hey, Sebastian. I was like, are you going to do it like that?
Oh, no.
and he'd be like, what? Why? And I'd be like, no. Just you're gonna do it like that.
Oh, wow.
And then I'd walk away.
And then I
walk away and just let him sit with that until it was time to.
That's just so mean.
But for some people, maybe that works. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe head games work for a guy like Sebastian.
I was busting his chops.
If you have a friendship like that, can do that.
He was terrific.
He's a great comic. I know Pat McGann's been traveling with him too.
I just worked with Pat last week. Yeah. And Pat opened and I was like, Pat, why are you opening? I was like, Pat, there's no way that like you should go before me on this.
But he's like, trying to probably stay home with his family, though, because he was traveling.
He was staying home with his family. So he's headlining this week in Rosemont. By the way, if you live in Rosemont, Pat McGann this weekend, probably one of the best comedians in the country. You need to go see it.
Yeah.
If you live in between downtown and Rosemont and you have the opportunity to see Pat, like me, him,
stop.
Yes. So,
nice. Who's headlining at Zanies on Wells with you?
I should look that up.
Don is at the Zanies on Wells. You can go to zanies.com for ticket information and showtimes. It's one of the oldest comedy. It is actually in Chicago, the oldest comedy club in Chicago. You can still smell the beer on the floor from 1979, and they are celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. It's the birthday of Zanies. So go to zanies.com for all the great shows, including Don DePetta this week. Let's take a break here. More with our guest when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, 720 WGN. Excited, Andre Darlis. We have so many great guests in studio, and then walking by our window, we have Scott Santis and his wife Janine Santis out there. So hopefully they'll
eating our caviar.
Well, they're not eating the caviar.
They're eating the chips.
Eating the caviar though. John Tatey walked by the kitchen and I offered him caviar. Adam Phillips, our engineer, that's the face he made. You can't see it right now, but
it's so good though. It's better than you think.
No, he had some.
I did try some. Oh, yeah.
Well, sadly, it was the very salty one, and he put it on a potato chip, so it was salty on salty.
I was following your lead.
I know
you
that was
entrapped
my fault.
Me.
I did not mean to. I apologize.
Salt on salt.
I'm going to tell Santis to come in here if he can't see me. All right. So Scott Santis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, is wandering around our studios. So he's just like, he just keeps going in and out of the windows. Don DePetta joins us. He's performing at Zanies on Wells. He's got a movie coming out in the fall called The Green Book alongside Viggo Mortensen and the gentleman.
Mahershala Ali.
Yes. And Sebastian.
Wow. Sebastian Maniscalco, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great
wow.
cast.
Wow. That's a great cast.
Linda Cardellini as well. Who might be the coolest human being I've ever met in my life.
She seems amazing. So let's not forget about Linda. And how can people follow you on social media?
You can find me at Don_DePetta on Twitter. And then my Instagram is DonnieTsunami7, which is very embarrassing.
I had that before.
Like, I got into this and I was like...
I think it's less embarrassing than the underscore. That is a true mark of shame to have to squeeze that in there.
And that is the voice of John Tatey, who joins us tonight. We'll be doing a little bit of TV trivia in just a little bit. And I told John as he was coming in that because the president has stated that a double negative is the reason for his misspeaking, I guess, yesterday when he was in front of Vladimir Putin.
Sure, that's the reason.
Yes, that was he meant to say wouldn't. And That he said that I don't see why they wouldn't have. He right. said it wouldn't have made sense because it would have been a double negative.
And that was the explanation for the entire 45-minute press conference of madness?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He meant to
what
say
what did he
wouldn't.
Say? How much would a woodchuck wouldn't?
Yeah.
I'm the president.
So, well, to right?
You're fired.
You're all fired. Yes. To Patty's what? Point earlier, so then if that's what he meant to say, so then he's okay with the investigation into Russian meddling.
Especially because right. they have produced some, you know,
indictments.
Yeah, definitely some, a lot.
Just
of indictments.
Just a few.
Yes, just a few. by the way, we were talking. So because of that, we're talking about poor grammar.
Bad grammar.
And I did at the very beginning of this conversation, Andrea, admit that even though I have pet peeves when it comes to grammar, I myself am often guilty of poor grammar. Mm-hmm. And so I'm being called out on something that I said something about Tim. Like I was talking about Tim Wilson and yeah. Drew. I said him and Drew mm-hmm. used to yell at me.
He and Drew.
Somebody said that.
Yes.
Somebody needs to get a life.
That's no. But that's a conversation we're having. It is. I have pet peeves, and they're like, "No, well, you just did bothers me." So that's kind of mm-hmm. yeah.
All right, guy.
Yeah,
that's, sure.
No, it's. I think it's a fair point. He, Tim Wilson, and Drew Hastings used to really yell at me on that tour. that was a lot of yeah. I loved when Tim Bedore was there because at least I had somebody.
So what was one of your pet peeves that I didn't get to hear?
What were some of my pet peeves are more in print when people misuse like your and your
and their
there and there.
I have a big one.
Yes,
when somebody's trying to say specific and they just say the ocean Pacific.
No. Pacific. Yeah. Oh.
Just look, not to get Pacific here, and I'm like, no, you're not getting anything.
I don't think I've heard that.
You haven't?
No.
People do that all
I'm
the time.
To get Pacific.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get real Pacific with you. Yeah. You're trying to do what?
I'm trying to get Atlantic with you.
Yeah. Salt tea. What about you, John?
You know, I find bad grammar funny. You know, when you said bad grammar, what came to mind is I can has cheeseburger, the like kitty cat meme on the internet. Or one of my favorite lines ever from 30 Rock was Tina Fey just saying, I want to go to there. And that
I love
just became
that.
Sort of a catch, right?
Yes.
So sometimes if you twist the grammar enough, it can actually be, it can bring you joy instead of misery.
I'm going to need you to be more specific the next time.
You know what I do a lot? I'll say, and this is my bad grammar coming out when I'll say, oh, I'm going to go with.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think they've changed the rule.
I know what I'm doing, but.
But I think they've changed the rule on whether or not you're saying that you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition.
Right.
But I think they changed the rule on that. I'm not sure it's just because of Chicagoans.
And exactly.
Who are you going with? Where's the party at?
I blame my Chicagoans on that, my Chicago accent.
We talk like that a lot.
Yeah.
Are there any nuances from the East Coast that
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that now that, you know, it's more about accent on the East Coast and like Pac and the Ka and whatnot. I'm trying to think of a grammar.
Yeah.
That's more diction. You know, there's spelling, there's diction, there's grammar. These are all different categories.
That's
you were
point.
Getting into spelling. Pacific is more of a diction thing. So
I grew up in Georgia and none of these things existed. So,
oh yeah,
words.
We didn't have any of these.
Didn't have words.
Nah.
Hey, you say y'all for everything.
I do say y'all.
All y'all.
Y'all. Yeah.
But you don't have a southern accent.
I do sometimes. Yeah. Get a few drinks in me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes out. Yeah, and sometimes on stage, which is really weird. But yeah, y'all. I don't like y'all. Saying you guys. Too long.
Oh,
y'all.
You guys?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
You guys is too cumbersome?
Yeah. Or use, and if I'm in the Northeast, use guys. No,
use
y'all.
Guys.
Our boss is from Louisiana, one of our bosses, and she's adorable. She'll say, all right, y'all. And then when she's trying to get our attention, she'll say, okay, all y'all.
Yeah, all y'all.
Yeah, all y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, all y'all.
That drives me a little crazy.
No, that's how it's that cute, sounds though. Right to me. The other way sounds super wrong.
Just y'all is wrong?
All y'all.
Here's all y'all.
All y'all.
Okay,
y'all.
Now yeah. I know.
Not y'all, all y'all. Now all y'all. I want to hear you using that now.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, well, all y'all ready for some TV trivia tonight?
We are.
Yep, I've got it right here.
I want to make sure I get to some. I promised I was going to get to some of these texts. Here's one I'm sure I am guilty of from the 847. My mother bristled when a waiter asked her if she was done yet. She would politely say, "I am not a roast," because a roast is done. So, are you finished with your meal? Would be perhaps.
You know what they always say is, "Are you still working on that?" Which I hate. I think I've complained about that again, on this show before. In fact,
there's
I always say it wasn't work.
Yes. Are you working on that? I think I've said that as a server before.
Yeah.
You finished? I think finished seems
I think the
abrupt.
Thing to say is, can I take your plate for you?
May I take your plate?
Oh, even better.
That's true.
At Waffle House, they don't ask. So,
I had my teacher, Mrs. Jordan.
You're done.
It's a statement of fact, not a question. My eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Jordan, would like if you actually she was. I had her twice. I had her when I was in third grade, and again, like they moved her up to eighth grade. So in third grade,
That's terrible.
It was awful.
Yeah, it is.
I raised my hand and I said, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And she was like, "Well, Patricia, I assume you have the ability to go to the bathroom unless there's something medically wrong with you." I don't know if she had that accent, but that's how it sounded in my head.
No.
And she was like, "What you're trying to ask is it my permission, so the question is may I go to the bathroom?" And I was like, "Can I have a mop?" This took so long.
Too late.
I'm sorry, may I have a mop?
Too late.
Too late. The moment's over.
T-O-O.
Yes. Those ones. I've heard people say those ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be. Is that Chicago?
It must be.
Are you still picking caviar out of
I'm still trying. I have this fear.
No, I think mine are. I've got caviar eggs all up in my grill.
I know, I do too.
I didn't mean to make you feel more self.
No, I did.
They don't care.
No, I know. We're on the monitor. I'm just going to face away from it.
Irregardless is actually a word now. Is that true? Have they changed the rules? See, they keep changing the rules on us.
Irregardless is like a semi-accepted word among lexicographers now. So, yes, that is true. Mm. And it just means regardless.
All right. Irregardless.
Sounds good to me.
You're absolutely right. I just Googled it.
It is irregardless.
I know I'm right.
Webster. Wow. Regardless.
Well, that'll continue to bother the people for whom it was incorrect previously. I've been very self-aware this show. Not always, John. But
I mean, Patty, you're going to get something real, which is that like we learn all these rules as kids and they kind of fall away over time. Like the whole ending a sentence with a preposition thing, that was to the degree that was ever really a rule. It really is not talked about anymore.
Right.
And the can, may thing, you know, that's a generational thing, too. That is just not really talked about among grammarians anymore. It's not a big deal. But I was reprimanded in school, too, for using can when I should, quote unquote, have been using may.
Although I did get yelled at by a bartender in England. I was in London, and I think it was because I didn't say please, right? And I had said, "Can I have 3 pints of beer?" And he went after the grammar and not saying please. And this was before
England,
in London, yeah,
in a bar, a pub.
You don't have to. They don't take tips, so they don't care what they say.
Oh wow!
Right?
They just pour your drinks.
They do have bad customer service over there. Yeah, they take a certain pride.
Is it warm beer too?
It's room temperature.
I'm not going.
It's not bad.
Tepid.
I'm not going.
You can get some ice with that.
No.
Here's another one. Seen instead of saw. I seen it. Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
That was a big one down south.
Mm-hmm. I seen it.
Was it?
I saint it. Somebody threw a T on the internet down there.
I find that
there.
Charming.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. We did that one before. No, that's back to the president. I think we're done with that.
Are we done with the president's grammar? I wish he would be.
there were so many. I hate when people use the wrong spelling of there. We talked about that as well. Same difference. People say same difference.
I say that on occasion, very rarely, but I'll say same difference.
Same difference.
I think it means. I know it's, but I think that's more of a, I don't know, more of a whimsical reply.
We're going to just end the conversation. I'll say whatever, and I know that people hate that. Whatever.
A lot of people have a problem with when you say, "I could care less," because what you actually mean is, "I couldn't care less."
Yeah.
That's another example where I, in fact, could not care less which one you say.
I could care less. I could. Try me. Watch how much I could care less.
Because I always read a certain sarcasm into I could care less, so it ends up meaning the opposite anyway.
Gotcha. We're going to do some TV trivia. I know you're heading out for the rest of your date.
No.
Going to hang out? All right. Hang out for some TV trivia.
Yeah, play some TV trivia. Yeah,
okay,
all right. That's Don DePetta. He's performing at Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for more information about showtimes and tickets. I know that they've got shows at 8 o'clock. What day is today? So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the second show on Friday, and I'm not sure the show.
Three shows on Saturday.
So
seven, nine, and 11:15.
Mm-hmm. And then another show on Sunday at 8 o'clock. Yeah. So go to zanies.com.
Lots of shows.
It's a lot. Did you start last night?
Tonight.
So you started. So 9 shows you got. I used to be the in-house MC there, so I know what's coming. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. Joining us is Don DePetta and John Tatey. More. Oh, we're going to have a TV trivia game. 312-981-7200. How many contestants?
Two contestants.
We need two contestants, and you can use Don as your lifeline if you want.
Good luck.
I was going to say the same thing. Don's a lifeline.
312-981-7200. We have a gift card to Apt Electronics and a runner's-up prize.
Which is sometimes is even better than the main prize.
There you go. More after this. on Tady on Tuesday. See how all that works. This is like words that start with the same letter. Don DePetta joins us. Don is performing at the Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. That's the Zanies in Old Town, celebrating their 40th anniversary this summer. Very exciting. John Tatey joins us in studio. He is a pop culture expert and often has great TV, and always has great TV trivia quizzes for you.
Sometimes.
I think they're always great.
Sometimes I'm too busy with the kids, Patty, to write a quiz. But today I was able to squeeze together enough time to write a quiz about TV shows that debuted in the summer. All these questions will be about TV shows, and some of them very famous, that debuted in what is considered a dead time of the year for at least broadcast TV, summertime. And here in the middle of July, why not?
Well, and the thing is that sometimes networks will have a show that they're not quite sure where to put it in the schedule. A lot of that's how a lot of the reality TV shows will sort of be, you know, placeholders.
You have read ahead on the quiz, Patty. That's right.
No, because I remember when Last Comic Standing would come on, it would always be like sort of their placeholder for the summer and things like that. So, and I would know like when they had shot all the episodes. So we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. It is time for TV Trivia with Tady on Tuesdays. And we have a gift card for Apt Electronics. Your first contestant, Mike, who I believe called in about grammar and then said, hey, I'll play the TV trivia thing.
There you go, Mike.
Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. I rarely watch TV anymore. I know I'm going to lose, but I'll play.
All right, that's the spirit, Mike. And who is going to crush Mike in this quiz?
Oh, let's see what we got here. On the line to take on Mike is John. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty, how are you?
Very well. Good to hear from you. Now, it's John from Max and Benny's, our favorite potato pancakes up in the North Shore. Max and Benny's, some great food. And all right, John, so here you go. We've got a head-to-head with John and Mike. Take it away.
That's right. All right, guys, it's just going to be a straight quiz, but you each can have one opportunity to ask Don here to help you on a question. He is your lifeline, all right? So you each get one lifeline straight to Don. Here we go. Mike, we're going to start with you. Here's your first question. These are all shows that debuted in the summer. All these questions are about shows that debuted in the summer. A mainstay in the CBS lineup since its premiere in May 2000, the reality competition Survivor has traveled to sunny locales like Micronesia, Fiji, and the Cook Islands. But where did that first season take place? Was it A, Borneo, B, the Australian outback, or C, the Philippines?
Oh. What do you think, Mike?
That's a tough one.
Where did the first season of Survivor take place? A, Borneo, B, the Australian outback, or C, the Philippines?
Here's a shot in the dark. B, Australia. Outback.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Boy.
The answer is A. Don, would you have known that?
I would have guessed Borneo.
Oh, just because. Maybe you should have gone to the lifeline.
Yeah, just because that sounded exotic.
Okay, Mike. There's plenty of time to catch up, but now we go to John. John, are you ready for your first question?
I am ready, and I knew that one.
Okay. All right, John. Nobody likes a bragger. You calm down.
All right, John. Here's your question. This legendary sitcom made a modest debut as a one-off special aired on NBC in the summer of 1989. But in the years to come, it would build its legend with famous episodes like The Parking Garage, The Junior Mint, and The Puffy Shirt. What was the show? A, Friends, B, Seinfeld, or C, Cheers?
Be Seinfeld. It was known as Seinfeld Chronicles when it first came out.
Okay, Seinfeld was enough, John.
That is correct, though, John. You not only get a point, but you get kudos for knowing that that one-off special was called The Seinfeld Chronicles. Don's making fun of you, but I appreciate it.
That's intense.
You're not supposed to make fun of the guests.
No, John, you're...
But they're the participants. Okay. Don't heckle them.
All right, it's 1-0 in favor of John after round one. On to round two. Mike, here's your question. The 60s period drama Mad Men premiered on AMC in July 2007 with the episode Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, which features ad man Don Draper seeking a new way to advertise cigarettes. What was the cigarette brand Don was trying to sell? A, Marlboro, B, Camel, C, Lucky Strike.
Oh.
I think that's the only episode of Mad Men I've actually seen, and I'm 99% sure it is Camel.
Dude, go to your lifeline. Go to your lifeline.
I have to take your first answer, Mike. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it was, in fact, Lucky Strike.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the big cigarette account on Mad Men.
You can think about this for a second. You don't have to just blurt out an answer. I like that you jumped right in,
especially since we're coming up on the news. Okay, John, here is your round two question. You ready?
Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
Still on the air 13 years after its first episode aired in August 2005, this cult hit sitcom has proven popular enough to spawn a Russian offshoot called It's Always Sunny in Moscow. What is the name of the American original? A. It's Always Sunny in Miami. B. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. C. It's Always Sunny in Detroit. Don't laugh at the wrong answers, Patty.
I was just
heckling the people.
That would be It's Always Sunny.
That's right. That's right, John. It is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Okay, so it's 2-0 in favor of John at the end of round two.
Mike, you've got Don here as your lifeline.
You might want to use him. Yeah? Lifeline's still available.
Oh, yeah, Mike. Oh, yeah.
I think I should.
We're going into our...
Bring out another question. Let's go.
All right, here's the final round, and these questions are both about summer TV obscurities. Here's the first one. In the summer of 1987, the Young Fox Network aired a White House spoof created by late-night legend Johnny Carson and starring an icon of the silver screen. The show was called Mr. President. Who was the star? A. George C. Scott. B. Sidney Poitier. C. Jimmy Stewart. Who starred in Mr. President in 1987 on Fox?
Wow.
Can you give me those three again?
A. George C. Scott. B. Sidney Poitier. C. Jimmy Stewart.
Wow. I never heard of this.
I don't have a clue. Don, Lifeline, help me out here. Say something.
I know it's not B, and I don't think it's C. I think A is our best guess right here. Say A.
A.
That is correct.
How about that,
Scott
buddy? How
played
about
the president on Mr. President.
Wow.
Good job.
Yes. I like his power of elimination. He's like, they're not going to put Sidney Poitier. They weren't ready for that back then.
That's right.
No, it ain't B. Yeah.
He did the math on my bluff answers. Very, very good. Okay, John, here's your final question. Rainy summer nights are a great time to break out the board games, but that doesn't necessarily translate to television. For ABC's summer 1990 lineup, Merv Griffin created an awkward, short-lived TV adaptation of what time-consuming board game? A. Battleship, B. Clue, or C. Monopoly?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go to Lifeline.
Oh, what do you think?
You're going to go to me?
Yeah.
What were the options again?
So Merv Griffin created this board game adaptation in 1990. Was it A, Battleship, B, Clue, or C, Monopoly?
Okay. I know it wasn't Battleship. That seems awfully hard to try and do in a board game. Clue was a movie, right?
Clue was a movie.
I don't think it was that one then. Let's go to the last one. I'm all about
And I think the hint was in the question. So what do you think?
What was it? Was it C? Let's go with C. How about it?
John?
Okay, Monopoly, C. Yes, Monopoly, C.
Patty, you heard that. You listened carefully. It was indeed Monopoly. Yes. A very strange. He turned it into a Q&A show. Odd. Monopoly should not be on TV. It's the long and short of it. That means with 3-1, John is our big winner. Congratulations, John.
Congratulations.
You ran the table.
Yes.
Good boy, John.
Well done, John. You have a gift card from Apt Electronics. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And for your consolation prize, Mike, you've won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Congratulations. Have a great night, Mike. Be safe. And Ashley will take your information and send those off to you. So there you go. I want an indoor weather station.
What is that?
It has a sensor outside
I'll get you one.
Look out the window. All right.
I love it. That's what I said a couple weeks ago too. But I love the indoor weather station. I think that is a superior prize.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Let me take a quick break here and then the news in just a moment with Andre Darlis. Chicago. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. Joining us is Don DePetta. He's performing at Zany's on Wells. Has a movie coming out this fall called The Green Book. co-starring. We'll just say you and Sebastian.
It's not co-starring.
You co-starring with Sebastian.
Sure.
Yeah, let's say that.
Sure.
And then some other folks who've been nominated for Academy Awards, whatever.
That's more. And one.
And
yeah.
one, yes.
That's
that,
more accurate.
That kind of stuff. But the green. Look out for the Green Book coming out in the fall. And again, your website and Instagram.
You can find me on Facebook. It's Don DePetta. And you just search Don DePetta on everything. You'll find me.
Yeah, but tell people how to spell it, Don.
DIPETTA.
Ooh, nice.
Just how it sounds.
Just how I thought it was spelled. So maybe I should shut my mouth.
Uppercase D, lowercase I, uppercase P.
Uppercase P.
Uppercase. Do you say that to people when you're spelling your name?
It depends. Sometimes, yeah, if I want to be a stickler. Other times, I'm like, it's not worth the fight.
This is a great headshot.
I don't even imagine which one has come up. I have some hideous
ones. You look very like this.
Very like
this.
Very GQ.
I want to see.
It's my blue steel.
When we're in the boardroom, we could use a table for something else, is what it looks like. You've got like a suit on or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's a blue tie. Yeah, that one's not terrible. Wow. There's some bad ones.
Those are some powerful eyebrows.
When I had long hair, I had long hair in a few of these. Those are not.
Yeah, there's one with the long hair. That's sexy.
Give me my hand.
Yeah. Maybe it has to have Googled these. I mean, that would be the first thing I would do after I met you is Google all your photos.
Yeah. Would you?
Yes.
I don't Google anyone. I want to be surprised.
Come on, you've never Googled yourself?
No, myself is different. But okay. I mean if I'm going to go on a date, like people Google people before they go, I don't. I want to be surprised. I don't want to know about anything about
really?
You. I want to find out about you. I live in 1983. I live... The world around me I'm just not caught up. I don't function.
And I think there's something to Googling somebody. Just even the sheer idea of perhaps making sure they don't have any police warrants out for their arrest.
aren't you sure? Like, I feel like that would be a tip off. Like criminal 5 minutes into dinner.
You would know if somebody was...
I would be like, give me the knife.
A felon? That's,
Is that like date two discussion or?
A lot of times it's in the eyes. You can just see it in people when you're like, you're looking a little too hard. Like, get away from me.
Well, I'm glad that you hung out tonight for the TV trivia. John Tatey was one of our favorite guests. He's a regular on Tuesday nights. He's also a game show expert. And I know we didn't get a chance to get to your pick last week. What did you want to tell us about that you're watching and enjoying?
You know, I've talked about it on the show before, Patty, I think, but I just enjoy it so much. It's Alec Baldwin's Match Game. Now, if you are a fan of the 70s original, you will really appreciate this loving update that is now in its fourth season on ABC. It's Thursday nights. It's Alec Baldwin and a panel of six celebrities. The casting is excellent. It's just a really well-produced show. It's fun. It's true to the zany spirit of the original, but updated for the standards of 2018. And look, I love Gene Rayburn and those old 70s shows, so I'm telling you, this really is faithful to the format.
And you just love the... there's so much mirth. They have a lot of glee, all the stars that are on that show and having fun with it.
It's fun to watch. Have you watched it, Patty? It's a fun watch.
It's a good
right?
one. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very fun.
Alec
I like the
Baldwin.
Old Match Game.
What? You don't approve?
No, he just doesn't get enough work. I'm glad to see him.
He's been struggling, hasn't he?
I'm glad to see him doing... I'm glad to see he's making ends meet.
Yeah. I think he goes home every night and takes a bath in that Boss Baby money.
Man.
There you go. And I do kind of miss with some of the news stories over the summer. I'm like, oh, I wonder how they'll do this on Saturday Night Live. Oh, wait, they're not on again until the fall.
I don't miss that at all.
I do.
It pains me when our culture is just so interested in what happened on SNL last night. Not that I don't have affection for SNL, but like, it's not supposed to be a fixture like that. It's supposed to be more disposable in my mind, you know? And it just like when in the New York Times on Sunday they're publishing what happened on SNL last night, I think we are, as a culture, maybe we've veered off track a little too far.
I think that's happening with a lot of shows. Like if you go through your feed, you'll see like, this is what Colbert said about Trump last night, or here's what John Oliver.
Well, I think comedy is the only kind of platform to still comment on things where people will still kind of listen.
We're really hurting for Trump commentary, aren't we?
No, but hilarious when you get all the different celebrities playing, Melissa McCarthy playing Sean Spicer.
Well, I do think that they did a really funny bit about how they'd oversaturated their celebrity appearances. I thought that was because they were.
I remember that.
Yes, because it does sort of diminish the hard work that the people in the cast do.
Right.
You know, and the
I agree. I think the same thing. I was really actually, I thought Melissa McCarthy was hilarious, Sean Spicer, and I think Alec Baldwin is like fine as Trump, but I also feel bad for like, these would have been huge moments for the cast, right? And it's, you know, it's a decision that Lorne Michaels, the producer, has made, but he's decided to go, perhaps sensing the gravity of the cultural moment, has decided to go with these big stars for some of these key roles.
Like De Niro, Ben Stiller,
See, but you have, like, in the past, you had your Phil Hartman playing Reagan, who was brilliant at, and Daryl Hammond playing Bill Clinton, so much fun, obviously, Chevy Chase.
Phil Hartman played Clinton, too.
Oh, that's right. He did do both.
And Dana Carvey played Bush.
Yes. Oh, man. See, and, the, and, you know, the cast continues to be interesting and fun.
It's a good cast.
Yes. Rachel Dratch is doing a commercial for, have you seen the commercial she's doing for, like, some restaurant? It's just, I started out in comedy when she was at Second City, so we used to hang out at what was called The Last Act. The bar's not there anymore, but a lot of the Second City and the comics and a lot of the Zanies comics would hang out there. So it was, it's always been fun to watch her career, but it was weird because it became Tina Fey.
Right.
You know, Rachel was in a couple of episodes of what was her show? What was Tina's?
30 Rock.
30 Rock. But they kind of, it went to the side. And
she was going to play the Jenna Maroney character, but then it was recast after they had shot a little bit. So those guest spots that you're talking about in the first season were sort of like makeup to Rachel Dratch, and then she disappeared from the show. But yes, she was going to be part of that hit show.
Can you imagine?
I still think Kate McKinnon is hilarious.
Oh,
I'm surprised.
Funny.
One of the funniest comedians. I mean, I'm surprised she's still a regular.
I always laugh when
on SNL.
Yeah. Chris, you ever get this? A lot of people always ask, like, when are you going to be on Saturday Night Live? And you're like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it
works. I'm sorry, Don. Sorry. I just called you by your dad's name. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Don't tell your dad it happened.
What's up, Pops, if he's listening?
Don, do people still ask you that? Because you have to, like, tell them.
When I'm going to be on SNL?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
That just happens. We just, people ask comics all the time.
What's worse is, like, when people say something they think is clever and then they go, well, you can use that for your skit.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I said skit up until about 10 years ago.
I'm like, my skit.
Oh, it's better when they say your little skit.
Yeah, you could use this for your little skit.
Your little skit.
It's a skit.
That was funny. You should use that.
Sketch.
You could use, you should use that. That's funny.
Here's a bit you can use. With comics, it'd be more like that one bit you got.
It's just because I think people don't know. Like, I wouldn't know unless I was told by a stand-up comic.
There you go. We're telling you.
don't do that.
I remember when I first started and I made the mistake of telling people I was a comic and they'd be like, say something funny.
Tell a joke. Tell me a joke.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
I'm like, that's not the place for this. No. Dance, monkey. No.
I don't want to. And then I feel pressure because then I feel like I'm being mean to them if I don't somehow perform.
Do I ask you to sell software now?
Exactly.
No. It's impossible to answer that with something funny, you know.
Yeah.
Tell a joke. Because the moment, you can't fill that moment with humor.
No.
Because there's no just element rage. Of surprise.
Just rage. Something's going
to
come out.
Yeah, something's going to happen. Say something funny. I don't want to. And then there's weeping. It gets very uncomfortable for everybody. Zanies on Wells is one of the best comedy clubs in the country. It's very small. It only seats tops maybe 185, depending on...
Have you ever been inside an old wooden ship? That's...
it's like that. It is. It's long. It's narrow. And but you're right there. The front row is like right in front of the stage. Yeah. It's 40-year-old club. Rick Hewitt started that club in 1979, and Don is there every night this week through Sunday night.
Hey, now.
And let me see. We're getting texts about news stories.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how to. Someone's asking about the Laquan McDonald. Now, when is that court date going to be coming up?
Oh,
is
that September 5th.
So we'll have conversations about that as we get, you know, as the story continues. But right now, we're still taking your grammar texts, which there are a lot of those. I know John's got to run. You're taking off?
I am.
You're both. Don's leaving as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take off too.
All right, then.
We're
fine. We have stuff to talk about.
I know that you guys have this under control. I was just a little. Yeah. I'm out.
All right. There you go. So follow him on Instagram. It's Don_DePetta. Find it at his Facebook page, Don DePetta. It's a traditional spelling.
sure.
traditional spelling.
No, people in Chicago will probably get it. If you were going to say DePetta in Alabama, we'd be in trouble.
DePetta. That's not DePetta. It's DePetta.
Well, no, they just don't know what Italian is. They're like, oh, you're Mexican, right?
That's all right. I'm Asian.
Yeah.
So it's very fun for me. John, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, John Tatey, JOHNTETI. There's no underscore in there because it's a class operation.
Oh, there.
Wow, John.
Wow, taking a dig at John.
Like at the break. You're just like, oh, by the way, here's a dig and good night.
Hey, Don, tell your dad I said hi.
I will. Thank you so much.
thank you for joining us. I appreciate that. Have safe travels. And again, congratulations on your film coming out in the fall, The Green Book. Look out for it. In a moment on 720 WGN. today about how walnuts are really good for your brain and your heart and all these different things. And I want to know if anybody has ever taken one of these, you know, studies to heart and really gone, you know, eaten so much of a particular food they actually noticed a difference. Have you ever done this, Andrea?
I have not, but I have a very good friend who decided to go gluten-free.
Okay.
And she said she did it. It was a girl I used to golf with. She said she did it for 2 years. She also, she was very thin, you know, anyway. She
to begin with?
Very healthy, very thin, great athlete. And
so why did she decide to go gluten-free?
She just wanted to be healthier. Yeah. Okay. You know, some people are like taking take up yoga or whatnot. She said, now this is just for her. Now I know it affects people differently or whatnot, but she said she'd heard so many great things. And she said it didn't
do a thing for her.
No.
Because it's not for everybody.
Correct.
Obviously, it's in particular for people who have celiac disease.
Exactly, yeah.
But interesting. So she did that for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. She was gluten-free and said it didn't change anything.
Well, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us because I'm curious if anybody's done something like, you know, incorporated a certain type of food that they tell you is really good for your memory. That's what they're saying about walnuts. It's that it's good for your memory. It's good for your heart. And but then, you know, then in what dosage? It's like when you read something about red wine being good for you, like pass the bottle.
Yeah.
But then they always say just one glass a day. And you're like, well, it doesn't really help much.
Like okay, now why walnuts? You know, why not almonds or
there's something about the oils in particular
peanuts.
And they're saying that nuts in general are a good go-to for any sort of nutrition but they're also high in fat, so then I'm not sure, maybe the oils in them are good for your heart even though they have a high fat content.
Yeah, maybe they're content. Like good cholesterol,
maybe, I guess, but I'm just curious. I eat walnuts every day in my oatmeal, so I'm trying to triple down on my good stuff for my heart. But I think I've told you I have high cholesterol.
Yes.
So my doctor's given me 6 months to get that under control on my own.
Okay.
And we were laughing. My husband said he was making fun of Representative Martwick, who's like, just go on the statins. You know, eat whatever you want.
That's right.
But I would rather eat healthier, right, and pay attention to what I'm eating. And maybe, you know, it's not that I eat perfectly. We just had caviar or prosciutto. I'm sorry, Steve. I had prosciutto. I'm not supposed to.
Can you say what your caviar or what your caviar?
My
what your cholesterol is?
You know what? That's an interesting question because my doctor called me and said that it's not in the, you know, they have these studies and these numbers that tell you what someone's risks are in the next 10 years of having a heart attack. And he said, you're not in that category, but it's in a place where I'm concerned. And I should have asked him, but I didn't.
See, years ago, mine was 218, which I thought was high. And then 208, I got it down to. And I haven't had a cholesterol test, oh my gosh, in maybe 3 or 4 years.
Really?
I know you're supposed to do it every year.
Do you go
and
for physicals or no?
I should.
Okay.
But well, I haven't in a while.
When was the last time you
went? I would say about three years ago.
All right. So
I need to have it done.
Is
absolutely.
It because you don't like your doctor? Do you have a doctor?
I do, but my doctor is in Orland Park and I work so much I don't have time to get down there as often as I should. And here, my other problem too, and this is truth, you know this.
Yes.
I would work so early in the morning and you're supposed to have the blood test first thing.
Uh-huh.
So, and I wouldn't get off work till 1 o'clock. I guess that wouldn't, you know, kill me not to eat till 1 o'clock.
Right.
But you're not supposed to have anything except water.
Because it messes up your test.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Results.
So that's kind of why.
So it's
just laziness.
But it's the distance. It's the inconvenience of how far away it is, and you don't want to switch doctors that might be closer
I think I'm going to have to, yeah. I think now I'm going to have to go.
I don't want to pressure you or anything. I mean, I don't know if you want to go to my family. We go to a family practice. It's not far from you.
Okay.
That I like.
I'm in, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And there, when you go to a family practice, they have, they're both the physicians, and then they have a lot of students that are, what's great about some of the students is that they're really on top of all the research and all the latest things, you know, what your choices are with treatments and that kind of stuff too.
I like the fact that you're trying to control it with diet instead of just going right to the medicine.
Yeah, I'm not on medication for, believe it or not, everybody. I'm not on medication for anything. I was raised, my mother was always very diligent about making sure that we had healthy foods available.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, would eat like liver sausage fried with onions.
Oh, yeah. My dad was the same way. He would go, if my mom was, you know, not cooking, it'd be hot dogs, hamburgers,
oh,
fries.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And my mom was like steaming vegetables back
exactly.
in the day.
That's like my house.
Yeah.
Interesting. Ashley, you were nodding your head. Your parents like liver sausage too? Fried liver sausage?
Oh, yeah. My dad is a huge liver sausage fan.
Yes. I think that was actually why my cholesterol went through the roof. We were talking about liver sausage one night on the air. My husband loves it fried. Oh. You know, like in the slices. Oh, it caramelizes and it has this great flavor. You don't like liver sausage at all?
I haven't had it that way.
Yeah. But if you don't like liver sausage, chances are you're not going to like it fried either. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I like it. I like it a lot with some good mustard. So people were like sending us all these different types of liver sausage. So of course I would leave here with a craving for liver sausage. And I also blame Nick D and Esmeralda and Vic Vaughn because they were talking about Esmeralda did a charcuterie tray for her boyfriend that was all like Oscar Mayer meats.
Oh, cool.
So I was messaging them. Yes. Yeah. And I was messaging them and I was like, did you guys do liver sausage? And that was how the conversation started.
And then you had a taste for it.
And I kind of think that was when my cholesterol, because I had my cholesterol tested after about 3 months of just eating so much liver. There was a deli in Indiana. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. I'm so sorry to the folks. They sent me a really nice package of liver sausage. I was getting... You know you've talked about something too much when you start getting packages of said object.
Oh my, especially liver sausage too.
It was fine. It was really good. It was different because it was there, you know, they made it from scratch there instead of the sort of processed stuff you get at the deli or the Oscar Mayer makes it. My husband brought home this big loaf and the only, it was a log. It was honestly, Andre, it was like this big and like this wide.
Like a loaf of bread almost.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was when my cholesterol went through the roof. So I'm trying to be better about it. I'm having a lot of oatmeal.
Walnuts.
I went home after the show last night and I broiled about 10 cloves of garlic and just sat on the couch eating garlic. I know, just
garlic? Come on.
Straight out of the skin. It's broiled. It's like
did
broiled.
You put it on like bread or anything?
No, I just popped it in my
mouth. And then you got
in
bed and...
Yeah. Hey, honey.
Hey, baby.
Give me a little sugar. I got something for you. Give mommy a kiss. I know. My husband hates when this happens because I did it a few years ago. Same thing. I was just eating... Then I was eating them raw because you lose a little bit of the nutrition when you cook them. So I...
Wow. I like garlic. I mean, I'm Greek, so I like it on bread and in chicken and on food, but I've never just eaten a clove of garlic.
Oh, yes. Well, if you broil it, though, it gets tender and like the sides of it are a little bit crispy depending on how long you broil it for. 312-981-7200. Tell Andrea I'm not crazy for just eating roasted garlic.
My grandmother would be like, what are you talking about?
Roasted garlic. From the 312, a lot of people are doing things because it's a trend. Do your research with very reliable sources. I agree. I agree that that's the thing, too, is like walnuts are one thing. But I think any of these studies, you still have to do it in moderation. Talk to your doctor, ask them what they think about it. And everybody's body is different.
Oh, completely.
Everyone's going to react to different things.
So my mom, like I was just saying, steamed vegetables, her cholesterol was always very high. Mm-hmm. She still to this day is on medication for it. My dad's cholesterol was like 160.
And all that meat?
And all the meat, French fries.
See what I'm saying?
I know. So I do think it's hereditary.
It's a raw deal, man.
It is.
It's a raw deal. Let's go to the news, which is sponsored by Gilkey Window Company. Here with everything you need to know is Andre Darla. Have you tried any of these health food fads? It's not even just health food fads. It's like when they tell you that something like goji berries. Remember when goji berries were like the newest thing?
Yes, and remember the acai berry?
Acai. I never knew how you were supposed to say that.
I think it was acai.
Everyone said it differently.
Pills.
Yes. Well, they have like my husband has powdered beets for you make a beet juice with like powdered beets. But
beets are supposed to be so healthy for you.
And Resveratrol. Remember, they would take all the things that made red wine healthy put that in a powder too.
It's better just drink the wine.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have all these different powdered drinks. I have protein powder in my I'll make a shake with kale and blueberries and a bunch of other things, almond butter, and then a little bit of protein powder. Mm-hmm. I don't really even know that it makes any difference.
It sounds healthy.
Of course, the glass of bourbon at night isn't helping anything at all.
So. Hey, do you remember, this is maybe 20 years ago, the cabbage soup diet? And that was this big phase and everyone's like, you can lose 10 pounds in a week with the cabbage soup diet. Mm-hmm. It was so awful and so gross.
It was.
I remember my roommates and I, when I moved to the city, I had three other roommates. So we're all making cabbage soup. We're like, oh, we're going to lose weight. It's going to be great. It was...
Wasn't that where
awful?
You could only eat cabbage soup, like, for all your meals.
That's
or something?
It. Like, the first day, I think the first 3 days, you could eat as much cabbage soup as you wanted to. And then I think day three, you got to have fruit. And day four, vegetables.
What did it smell like in your
awful.
Apartment? Yeah.
So okay. bad. And when we'd make the soup, you know, we'd make just this huge tub for everyone to take to work.
Oh,
and
God.
And people are like adding salt and yeah. pepper. And it's like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose. We're just pouring tons of salt in the cabbage soup.
Yeah, I remember that trend. And recently it's been the apple cider vinegar. Remember, Jen, we hear when Jen Zanotti said that she had a friend that was doing it and she cracked a tooth because it wore away at the enamel on her teeth. It's not good for your esophagus to drink. There are people who drink apple cider vinegar and it's supposed to do something to your metabolism or any of that.
My God.
It's just very strange stuff.
It's not good for you, though.
I remember reading that, like, starting your day with warm water, lemon juice, cayenne pepper, like that thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't really. Although I do drink two to three glasses of water the very first thing in the day.
I usually try and drink a glass, and then I'll have like a bottle in the car, and then I'm always trying to have you know a bottle nearby.
I had one of these things. Somebody sent me a digitized, like a water bottle that monitors how much you drink. It sends you information on an app. Like it's
cool.
It is, but I just couldn't keep up with like the pressure of trying to get my 80 ounces of water every day.
That's a lot of
I'm
pressure.
Not sure. I can't remember what exactly the numbers were. By the way, Andrea from 847, I lived in Italy for a summer and had raw garlic sandwiches with olive oil. It was delicious.
All right, that does sound good.
See?
And bread. Yeah, bread.
Oh, I see.
Good.
You like the bread.
Yeah.
My popping it in my mouth like it's popcorn. It
would taste good.
It's so good.
Does it stay kind of with you for a while?
I don't know. I can't smell myself. Okay. Come on. Let me go stay in your space. Well, at some point, it starts coming out of my pores, doesn't it?
I know.
That's where my husband starts to get really nervous.
But you won't get sick.
I don't think so. It's supposed to be very good for
very healthy for you.
I had 10 cloves of roasted garlic last night. And my husband's going to hear this podcast and be like, I knew it was something.
Something was weird.
I knew something didn't die in our bedroom.
Do you drink anything but water?
What do you mean, for meals?
Yeah.
Water, I'll have tea.
Okay.
I don't drink too much juice. I like pomegranate juice once in a while, like the dark tart cherry juice.
But you don't drink any, like, pop
no sodas.
Or soda? Okay.
Club soda. I have one of those soda streams, so I make a club
neat.
Soda. Yeah. I try not to drink any soda. I mean, like, if I have a thing of soda a month, that's probably the most.
The most I'll do is if we have popcorn, you're I'll right. have, you know, like a Diet Coke. I know you're not supposed to.
No, but there are certain foods that a soda, for me, is just the best thing. Like, I absolutely enjoy, for example, I enjoy soda with pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I do, too.
My father liked milk. Glass of milk with pizza.
Really?
Yes. I don't know what that was.
Boy, our dads were very similar. Because I don't know if my dad drank milk all the time.
Yes,
I don't know if he did it
too.
With pizza, but yeah. It was like our dad thing.
Yeah.
Espresso with pizza.
What? Why, double Roger?
Espresso. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. No.
Double espresso?
Oh, double espresso.
With pizza?
It sounds so bitter with the pizza.
No. Not at all.
Okay.
Wow. Roger's really getting into that espresso.
You know, and I'm glad they got the espresso machine here. Especially
because you like your pizza. You and Matt Bubala doing the pizza thing on Friday nights.
I know.
They actually do get a very good pizza on Friday nights.
That's
where
right.
Do
you
guys
had
get your
some.
Pizza? Mm-hmm.
It's called Papa Nino's. They're open till 4 in the morning.
Do you remember?
And they deliver.
Roger used to pick up pizzas from, was it like Dominic's?
Dominic's, yeah.
Yeah. They were so good. Well, of course, it was midnight. We're all starving at that
take
point
anything.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's pretty good, though, that it's that thick. The Dominic's had that sort of thick
It was
dough.
A double crust,
yes.
They said, a double dough.
Yes.
And I keep forgetting to order that. Some places don't make that. It's either the thin crust or a stuffed. You know, a lot of them don't know what a double dough is.
Mm.
But that was the Dominic's brand, was a double dough pizza, and it was awesome. And inexpensive.
Pizza. I really love pizza. Like I know everybody has their favorites, like Lou's is awesome and Giordano's and, you know, a lot of the local pizzas. I can't think of a pizza I've ever had that I thought, oh, I haven't liked this.
Huh. I even like the Domino's, like that really thin, crispy
Me
crust.
Too.
It's like on a cracker almost.
Yes.
I love that. You know, one time when we were broadcasting from the old studio, they have an app for Domino's so you can track where your pizza is in the development process. So it's
cool.
Like they're rolling out the dough. We ended up calling the Domino's to see if they actually were at the step that my app was telling us when we were talking to them.
And were they?
They were very nice, yes.
It's cool.
And Brian, you're right. We're talking about beverages that you absolutely have to have with a certain food. And he says beer and pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's so funny because he gives and he takes. He says, not to add to your anxiety about drinking 80 ounces of water, you need to have another 8-ounce cup for every cup of coffee you drink during the day.
Okay, it's true. Because I drink a ton of coffee.
I have about 2 to 3 cups a day.
Me too.
So he's saying we need another 3.
Per cup?
Another 1 cup per cup of coffee. Another glass of water for each cup of
because
coffee.
Because coffee dehydrates you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to get into any details or TMI, but I hate those days when there's some sort of perfect storm and I have coffee and it becomes an instant diuretic.
I'm
like, oh, what just happened?
I know.
I have to excuse myself from the world right now. From the 630, I used to love chocolate milk with pizza. Between the espresso with pizza. And
Wait a minute. Espresso is not... Have you tried it?
Yeah, but not with pizza.
I'm mentally imagining what that would taste like.
It tastes very good. No. Because it depends what you have on the pizza, though.
Yes.
I just have my... I'm usually having my pepperoni.
Well, have you had caviar? Have you had caviar on your pizza? Tostino's pizza puffs.
No, we're not.
There you go.
Do you want some? You don't want any caviar? No. We have tons of caviar in the kitchen.
I just finished my chicken Caesar salad. I'm full.
Roger's very routine. Do you eat the same thing every night?
Yeah.
You do
the same thing.
Bad. He eats the same thing every night.
Chicken Caesar salad with my mocha that I make here, and
you do a Perrier, right?
Well, that's later in the evening.
Okay,
when I'm thirsty, it's not Perrier. Pellegrino.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Pellegrino. Wrong kind of sparkling water.
Yeah. Tastes different.
There you go. From the 262, you two are crazy thinking Diet Coke is something to stay away from. Did we say we stay away from Diet Coke?
Well, I think, yeah.
I don't drink soda. I don't drink any sodas.
I know it has a bad rap.
I didn't say Diet Coke in particular.
No.
I didn't say anything about it.
I know a lot of people.
Somebody heard what they wanted.
I know a lot of people people in general, I think, are down on soda pop and Diet Coke. And
yeah, I only have it as a
I'll
treat.
Drink it.
The sugar in regular sodas is significant. I would rather eat my calories than drink my calories.
Yes.
Or drink my bourbon.
Right.
That one I'll take. But no, I don't. If you have at it with your Diet Coke, it's not supposed to be great. But aspirin. I was reading a piece by a doctor who said the thing about those synthetic sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners, is your body doesn't, they're not natural, so your body has a tough time breaking them down.
See, now that's one of my vices, because I have to have coffee with cream and sugar.
Oh, okay.
But I do, I either do like a half and half, mm-hmm. just a splash of it. Sorry, that's me again. I have a remember.
Well, that was a big splash.
Sorry about that. Just a splash of cream. And then I used to do Splenda, and I know that's terrible for you, so I do the Truvia.
Okay. That's supposed to be, that's a naturally occurring sweetener.
Or is it Stevia?
I think Stevia is.
Stevia, yeah. Isn't it? That's what I do.
I eat peanuts with the shell still on.
That's going to be terrible on your stomach.
I'm not just suddenly proclaiming that. That's from a listener who said that. But from the 630, I will say, so does my son.
Oh.
Which I don't know what that is. Why maybe it's the texture. It's a sensory thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes. He also eats the shells from edamame, you know, the soybeans.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very fibrous.
I bet that is a texture thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a texture thing.
Talk about sodas. Mm-hmm. I used to drink, like, way too much, and I've cut them completely out. But when I was drinking them, mm-hmm. this was my soda. It was made by Canfields, which I believe was a Chicago company.
I think you're right.
And I had their diet chocolate fudge soda.
Gross.
Everybody said it was gross. It
is
tasted
it
like a chocolate phosphate.
Yeah, like, do you remember the Yoo-hoos? Don't they say
yes.
like Yoo-hoo? Yeah. Like
but this had a little carbonation to it, right. And I love chocolate phosphates. I don't know if anyone's ever had it.
Yes, I love
but
those.
But they're fantastic. And this was the perfect chocolate phosphate. And I remember when I used to buy them at the Jewel, that was the only soda the Jewel stocked from Canfields, and I was the only one who would buy them.
So then they
really?
So I would like buy
they
like
come in they're like oh we got to stock
exactly,
the shelves again
exactly
Dad is
and
just
so
coming in.
One day I walked by and the guy was stocking them and I go hi I'm the one who buys those and he says oh you're the one
oh boy
you're the
and
one
seriously I was the only one buying them if I didn't go to the store for a week they'd still be on the shelf from the last time they would stock no
funny.
One else would buy them.
Were we talking earlier this week about eggs, Patty? About eggs, and I said I don't really
eggs.
Like.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
I don't
eggs,
mind
right?
a little scrambled egg.
Right.
Pete McMurray today posted. He said he made a pot of hard boiled eggs for the week.
Yeah.
And he was like one by one. He put them on Instagram. He must have had.
Did
you
he
know,
name them? What?
50. No, he's like, here's my snacks for the week, and it was like 50 hard boiled eggs.
50 eggs.
Yeah, and he put them all like did each that, day. I guess he takes a baggie.
Mm.
You know, his car has to stink.
Did that gross you out a little bit?
It did because I wrote gross, and as I wrote gross, I thought of you. nervous. I was
it's
like,
okay.
Oh.
So people are writing in on our text line some of their favorite drinks. Ovaltine hot, chocolate milk with chili from this 870. A cup of Malnati's dressing with a Malnati salad with a spinach deep dish pizza. So some of the things that go together.
Malnati's has a great salad dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard coffee does not dehydrate you. The fluid in it is more than its dehydrating effect. See, these are always the things.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. See? All our vices.
There's about 30 different chemicals in a coffee bean. And caffeine is one of them.
Right.
So the longer you roast a coffee bean, which is usually for French roast or Italian roast or espresso roast, the more caffeine burns off. So basically, when you have an extremely dark roast coffee bean, there's essentially no caffeine in it.
You know what we have to do? Huh. We have to go to Veteran Roasters, our friend Mark Doyle and his wife Kip, and they have the roasters now where they're doing the Veteran Roasters coffee, and it's so cool to see the process.
Oh, yeah, that
where they're roasting
wonderful.
The coffee beans.
I like it. We have, from the 224, Diet Cola has citric acid. It's horrid for your teeth. Horrible. Well, if it's bad for your teeth, my guess is it's also bad for other parts of your body.
But yeah.
I'm just speculating at that point. That was what they said there. Do not let the pizza driver get lost when Roger is waiting for it.
Oh.
That happened this past Saturday morning.
Oh,
they
the
had
poor
a
guy.
Brand new driver.
Poor thing.
And 2 hours. They got
what?
Lost for 2 hours.
To this place?
To this place.
See what happens when you move.
Aubrey was even on the phone with the driver, says, well, no, you want to get off of Lower Wacker Drive. And they actually sent another driver to find the first driver.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They sent out a search party.
Yeah, I know.
What happened?
I hope you gave him a nice tip.
Yeah, no kidding.
I had nothing to do with it. I was already livid.
Oh, yeah. No. At that point.
You can't blame the driver.
Well, I guess you can.
If they're in this area.
But you don't send a first, who's never driven in Chicago before.
It is very, I finally am feeling confident with the lower streets, like Lower Wacker, yeah. Lower Columbus. There are those ramps that come up in the middle of the street. You have to basically make a U-turn to come up the ramp when
yes.
you're on one of the lower streets. But I could see not having your bearings when you're down there.
Yeah.
Your GPS doesn't work. And if you're not familiar with it, it's very disorienting, especially at 2 a.m. when you guys are ordering pizza.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can see that. Hi, Patty. Love your show. My dad used to talk about the garlic diet. You didn't lose weight, but you look good from a distance.
Oh.
I love that. That's from Canadian Bill. We got some texts from our friends in Canada. We have a listener in Omaha who says they're having a good time listening to the show.
Very cool.
I'm so sorry I didn't get to more of the grammar stuff. I work in the Milwaukee area, and they still sell Canfield's Diet Chocolate Soda in the grocery store.
There you go. I'll have to go up there.
Yeah.
Bring some of that in, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Really? You want
some?
Yeah,
I'd like to taste it.
All right, sure.
They said it's at Sundix. I had not seen it since my childhood in the 70s. From the 262, I've been drinking Diet Coke all my life. I'm 65, and my teeth are fine. You guys believe all the crap you read online.
It is funny.
Well, we mentioned this too. When we talk about these diets, everyone's going to react to things. You're going to have people who chain smoke until they're 95 years old.
Yes.
And you're going to have a significant portion of the population that's going to have lung cancer. My dad was a longtime smoker, and he had something called small cell lung cancer, which is the kind that is particularly for smokers. And it travels through your system very quickly, and that's scientifically proven. So a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah.
That's all we try to do. From the 708, my ex-boss's wife used to put hot chocolate mix in their coffee. Ooh, it tasted like cappuccino.
Oh,
I could see
that sounds good.
That sounds like a lot of sugar.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like more
Piling
sugar.
On.
But no, by all means, 262, you don't sound cranky at all. More after that. Maybe it's the Diet Coke. I could be wrong. More in a moment. Tell me something good. It's the Patty Baskett Show with Andrew Darlis on 720 WGN. To tell each other something happy, because no matter what we've talked about throughout the show, we might agree to disagree. There's something to be happy about. From our listener in the 630, Brian says, tell you something good. When I'm out of state, I'm going to spend my data listening to you guys because they did good on this one, WGN Management. Aw, that's very nice of you.
Thank
you, Brian. Appreciate that. And, by the way, the Happy Foods on Devon and Central has Canfield's. Roger, you live up by Devon and Central.
Yeah. I love Happy Foods.
I know
foods.
Exactly where that is. We go past that twice a day to go get the girls from camp.
And Happy Foods are very good for friends of the show and yeah. love
they
you.
Are.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story.
Do they know I used to be a cashier at their store on Northwest Highway?
They must. The two ladies in there are so nice. I went after the TV, you know, the TV one day, and they said, "Oh, we saw your piece," and I said, yeah. and they said, "Oh, we hear you now with Patty," and they just said, yeah. "We love Patty." So
I was a cashier at the Happy Foods on Northwest Highway when I was a kid.
And now every time I come in, they always say to say hi. So hi, I forget to tell you guys.
Sorry for the terrible bagging back in the day.
Love
sorry,
Happy Foods.
Sorry. Before we had scanners, Steve Dale joins us in studio. He's coming up next. Steve, tell me something good. What's coming up on your show? What's that? That's your something good.
Well, this is exciting. We are going to learn about tummy health. Gastroenterology, a word I can barely say, but we have in the studio with us one of the foremost right here from the University of Chicago. He travels all over the world. It's amazing to catch him when he's actually in Chicago, and he knows more about these topics like Crohn's disease, about some nutritional supplements like probiotics. Do they really work? How do you know which ones to use?
Can you tell me now? I'm kidding, Doc.
Yeah. Tell us super fast.
Yeah, super fast.
No, I mean, really, this will be show. Fascinating. It could be the whole show because he lectures to doctors all over the planet.
Do you pay attention to what you eat and how it affects you digestively, Steve?
Sort of, but yeah. not as much as I should. And right. we're going to learn how to pay more attention. And at what point do you actually go to the doctor? But the real reason why we have Dr. Rubin in studio.
Why?
Well, two reasons. One, he's a friend of mine. But the other reason.
He's got a great smile, by the way. I'm not flirting.
He does.
He's a really good smile. I mean, like, some people just have great. Like, that's a great smile. I'm sorry.
Like, Dan had good right? eyebrows.
Yes.
So. A smile for radio, he says. The other reason, I've always wanted to know this. You have a big decision to make, right?
Yes.
And then some people will say,
I got a gut feeling about this.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that
we'll find out.
I know what it means for me. I am a gut-centric gal, Doc. I am.
Is that good?
Woman after my own gut.
Like when it bothers me is when I'm shopping, my stomach starts to it starts to go into knots, and I start getting like this. Yeah, I get fight or flight for some reason while I'm shopping for no apparent reason.
Does she need to see you
shopping for food?
Anything. When I go, usually when I'm just shopping, I just start getting like this. My stomach just starts to turn.
You should listen to the next segment.
Don't go shopping anymore. Apparently,
I get hungry.
It's probably my guess is it's a money thing.
We are also going to talk about the Meow Meetup. A convention for cat lovers.
You just like saying that. It's not even a real thing.
It is. I'm kidding. Coming up this weekend. I'm one of their keynote
speakers.
Steve
the Catch.
Yeah, And also the Chicago Architecture Foundation will be here, not the entire foundation, but some representatives
awesome.
Talking about the cruise that they have that goes out on Lake Michigan and into the Chicago River.
Like the canine cruise she was talking about that.
Oh, yeah. were you talking about that? I love that. This is the actual architecture cruise given by Docent. So you go on many of these boat rides. And the captains will say, there's a tall building, and there's another
building.
They're more
specific about it than
this. They are, because this is the real thing with the Chicago Architecture Foundation. Also, there's a new center that they're about to open, so we're going to hear about that. But the most important guest ever, and it is worth sticking around.
Yeah.
He even would agree with this.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the Chicago Margarita Festival.
Oh, hello.
Aww. I know.
They once brought me, I think it's in my office. Have you seen that big margarita glass we have in our office? That's from the Margarita Festival.
Really?
Yes.
We'll see what they bring me.
It's massive. Yeah.
I want one of those.
We're not supposed to.
Actually, Roger wants one of those.
There you go.
Nice. Yes, I do.
Hello.
I will come up there. So all of that, and as they say in radio, more coming up.
Excellent.
We'll squeeze it all in.
All right. We'll have a great time.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our guests for coming in. Ashley, it was a pleasure to work with you tonight. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley. And tomorrow we start. We have another 7 to 11 show because the Sox are the all-star break. We're going to do four in a row this week. Five in a row, 7 o'clock.
And I'm so happy. And thank you so much to all our great texters who have been saying all night.
This is great.
They say we love being able to hear us from 7 to 11.
Yes. And not only that, but also thank you to our texters who have joined the conversation in a wonderful ways tonight, whether we are talking about grammar or what we like to drink or health food stuff. It has been so refreshing to see so many great comments and your input on the show. That's how we have a conversation. The text screen is intended for folks who can't or don't want to call in because they're nervous or working. So thank you so much for understanding with the text screen.
Not driving. No, that would be bad.
I did that the other night. Well, maybe they're doing voice to dial.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, me. Yeah, yeah. I do terrible voice to dial.
Really?
None of mine makes sense. But that's,
but you have a beautiful voice. Well, I don't understand that.
Yeah, my phone doesn't agree with you.
News. You got a whole show coming up.
Time now for the news. If you, by the way, you've got to be listening to Steve Cochran's show weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users. By the way, they celebrate the most valuable person on the planet.
Yes,
you
got to
show up for that. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Your news is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Here is Andre Darling.